Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight.
You heard of Junkyard Wars?
No. Can I get another high five?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, for tonight. And joining me today, Beardy's here.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a second.
For now.
Kim Shimke is here. And the multiple award-winning 2019 silver medalist at the Great American Beer Festival, Sean Sully O'Sullivan, is in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Bevo's here, too. What did you win the medal in again?
We won it for Sweet Stout.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a trending stout. yeah, Emperor Norton Sweet Stout, nice. Category 102.
Okay.
65 entries, so
wow.
You brewers out there,
get in.
You want a medal.
Get in while you can.
I'll talk all about how to do it.
Is that where the pastry stouts are going?
No, those are emerging. Category? I don't know where those are. Other strong beers.
Other, oh, okay. Yeah.
Other dark beers.
Other, okay. Sweet Stout.
It's not that sweet stout.
Super other sweet stout. Okay. Was that brewed at the pub?
Yes, it was.
Nicely done.
We've won a couple of awards, as you know, for Elf Sully back in the last few years.
Yeah,
we've been dethroned.
Yeah,
but
you started the Mexican lager
exactly.
Trend.
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at that style, that category now, which is American cream ale,
mm-hmm.
there's two Mexican lagers that won.
Wow, nice.
So they're on to you, Charlie.
Yeah. And I, by the way, I like that trend is happening. I'll order Mexican lagers when I see them at a craft brewery.
Maybe there'll be a Mexican lager category.
Maybe. So there should be. You'd think there would be. Except,
well, there will be.
I mean, but it'll be like, you know, Corona and things like that, wouldn't it? Like if they'd have to go through the traditional Mexican lager.
You know, I don't know what's going on this year because I don't know if they don't enter, but I didn't see any large brewery win an award.
Oh, that's a good point.
So
usually,
I was like, are they blocked out because of the new independent thing?
I bet they must be.
Ballast Point won something.
I think they are. Oh, hang on.
Can only independent breweries compete now?
Press your button over there, Shimke.
10 Barrel was there.
Oh.
They were there. Okay.
They were, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to have end caps anymore. They couldn't pay for end caps.
But they can enter the competition.
I believe so. I mean, I don't know why you would have a booth there if you didn't enter anything.
Yeah. Right.
Because you own the convention
center. I also would have thought they would allow them to keep paying money for sponsorship like end caps, but then not allow them in the competition. That would seem like a more reasonable, if I'm the BA, that's what I would do. End caps are expensive.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't submit. I don't know. I just know that
because usually like
there.
Pabst is in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been trending a lot of the of which I judge. By the way, the light lager category, my favorite category.
Okay.
They were all won by small breweries, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because you really, you taste those beers and they're just like world-class light lagers.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's the trend. Hazy and then lagers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it just drops right off the light lagers.
Don't combine those two, please.
Hazy lagers.
Keep them separate.
But it was exciting to continue on with the story.
Yeah, it hasn't lost its luster for you?
Well, I will tell you this. So
winning.
I do is I have this whole, like, I do the same thing every year. I sit in a specific place in the theater.
Wow.
And I write down all the beers we entered, you know, in the categories in order. And then I write down all the, you know, the, because I judge every year. I've been judging for, I don't know, 55 years now, something like that.
Yeah.
And I put down all the categories that I judged, that I medaled the, you know, the rounds at. And I just
so you know
there
when you take your bathroom breaks?
I just tick them off.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, fuck. Oh, man.
Oh,
I'll sell these anyway. And what's different is that, like, back in the day when we would win an award, it was just like Nico and I there. We would just get up and go to Falling Rock, and we would smoke cigars and get drunk and fall down.
Yeah.
If we didn't win anything,
yeah.
Same thing.
Right.
And now you've got, like, the sales team looking at you and going, like,
oh,
I just need a goddamn medal here.
Wow.
So, because they're all looking at you like, you know, what did you enter? They're always curious.
Wait. Are you saying that now that you have a larger company and a sales team that you're not allowed to go celebrate by smoking cigars?
No,
and
you can do that, but it doesn't seem like it's like almost a relief. And this is self-imposed, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just like...
Just a relief that you got.
I need to get one medal so these guys can go out there in the market and say, hey, we want a medal for, you know,
I see. So it's like winning one for the team,
yes,
kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, people are
pressure.
Sitting next to me. Susan Green, who runs the East Coast for us, who's from New Jersey. You've probably met her before. She just talks nervousness the whole time. And I'm already I'm not on suicide watch like Roger Davis.
Right.
So when Roger Davis watches the thing, he's in the back of the top of the theater pacing. He's not sitting down. They've removed his shoelaces. They've removed his belt.
Right.
And
he's
a mess.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's different for you.
Yeah, I'm a mess. Yeah.
And your team.
But I'm just internalizing, you know, through, like, you know,
yeah,
some sort of issues with my body.
I feel like you think, is your team then going to say, well, you know, we didn't hit our sales quota because you didn't win a medal. It's like,
no.
it's like that.
No, it's nothing like, it's just me, like, beating myself up.
I understand.
Like, wanting to perform at that level.
Well, you did well, and so did a couple of our other Brewing Network friends, but I was noting how different it seems to be now, and I think that's... I think it's due to the sheer size, the amount of beers entered.
There's going to be 8,000 craft breweries by the end of the year.
And there was over 9,000 beers entered, I think.
I didn't recognize probably like 90% of the breweries that entered. One of the breweries that won for, and congratulations... Who won for the Hazy IPA? I don't know if it was a medal, if it was a gold, silver, bronze. Had only been open, I think, for 6 months.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. And so there are certainly still some repeat medalists up there. There were this year, but it used to be.
Yeah, you'd see Firestone Walker.
You'd see them six times. I'd see many of my friends
There's a few times,
or even just many of the people that we know from the show just walking on the stage. And now, I don't know, half those breweries. I got to catch up on our interviews now, I guess, because there's just so many more breweries out there.
So the best part is I go up on stage, you know, to do the fist bump with Charlie, and he says something actually nice and personal to me.
Nice.
And then I see, you know, Chris Swerzy, who's, you know, manages the whole, he's the one that's announcing the winners. He manages the whole competition.
Yeah.
And he says some nice things to me. And then as I'm walking off stage, I hear, Sully! 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 And I'm like, the hell is that coming from?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And I look back and I see you.
I'm in like a dark corner.
You're in the dark corner. You're backstage. You're just, I'm like, what are you, usually you're out, I don't know, they got me back here this year. Like, you and I have like a little conversation while I'm standing
there. Walking off the stage, yeah. Yeah, they hide me away in the corner now. I don't, you know, the last year they let me sit with the big kids where all the other cameras and media gear is, but I think that they forgot to run the cable that I need, so they're like, are you okay, like, backstage?
Sure, it's about the cable.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
It's cooler backstage, right?
Just put me in the corner. It's fine.
Walked off. Nancy Johnson gave me a big hug.
Yeah, she loves the competition. Just like, I really enjoy the competition. I think I've said this before. I really enjoy watching people achieve those medals. I know how important it is to everybody, and you can see it on their face. And so even back there, just like staring into my little laptop, like I've always done, I really like it. I like watching how excited brewers are to be at the top of their game.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Nancy
it's
Johnson,
huge.
who's like in charge. charge of, you know, the entire GABF. She really, for the same reason, she really likes it too, and really cares about like every aspect of that thing.
Yeah,
I have
great.
A headset on with the whole production crew, and Nancy will like comment on every song that they play in the background. She like really wants everything to run perfectly, and so she's just on there like, next one needs to be a little more upbeat, please. Okay, that one was perfect. Good energy. Crowd's looking good. She's just like all over that.
Okay.
thing. She just really
she
cares
that,
about it.
It was that, like,
she's into it.
Granular.
In a good way. But and anyhow, congratulations and to other
you.
Brewers who won.
Yeah, if you
well.
Win, if you win a medal, I mean, having you know seen the judging process for all these years, congratulations because it is not easy. At all.
And that's promising for craft beer drinkers. If the diversity of medal winners is increasing, that means there's good beer in an increasing number of areas
across
the U.S.
That's true.
Not just right in Paso Robles,
in the
here in the Bay Area.
The same places. That's true. So, well, congratulations to everybody that won. And you can watch the full award ceremony, if you haven't already, over on our live stream page, which is like livestream.com/brewingnetwork. Okay, today on the show, Red Clay Brewing Company from Alabama is on.
Oh.
We've only ever had one other brewery from Alabama on the show, and that was back when we were talking about their like homebrew legislation
they were trying to
pass, and they had like a crazy senator who didn't want it to happen. I'll have to see if they remember that whole thing.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. See if they've been to Flobama.
Yes. We'll be talking to Red Clay Brewing Company today in just a few minutes. Today's show, of course, brought to you by More Beer. You go to morebeer.com and check it out. And check out their extra pale modern two-row base malt, which is designed for very light-colored beers. You can go see it at morebeer.com. All right, what do I have happening today? A couple of announcements. Well, first, Bebo and I got through our second annual Concord Oktoberfest this weekend.
Nice.
Which went well. It's a bit of a shit show, but it went well.
Why was it a shit show?
Did the mayor pour a beer as terribly as he did last year?
So here's an interesting thing.
What's going on?
Here, this is interesting. So the city of Concord, the way the mayor works is we elect our city council, but then on the city council, the mayor position rotates. So you're not really elected mayor. Everybody who sits on the council at one point or another is mayor for a term. I don't know if that term is 1 year or 2 years.
Like this week, you're the mayor.
It's like it's 1 year.
Who wants
it's 1 or 2 years. I think it's 1 year, and then it goes to the next person, right? Okay. So last year, for the first official one, we had the mayor on. His name is Eddie Bersan. Interesting guy. And this year, Carlin Obringer is our mayor. And Carlin is wonderful. In fact, she implemented mayors around the country, take note. I know you're all listening. She implemented this cool thing instead of like a fireside chat. Or she wanted people to feel like you don't have to set an appointment and go into City Hall and meet with her. She felt like that was intimidating. You can do that, but she instead started this monthly thing called Beer with the Mayor.
Oh.
And she'll come and grab a table at a local Concord pub, and you for an hour or two, people can just come ask her questions, talk to her. She's done one here at the Hop Grenade, and she did one in our beer tent at Oktoberfest. So 5,000 people in the park. She's got her own table. You can come right up and talk to her. So she comes up to do the official ceremonial tapping, right? Mm-hmm. And I have it planned out. I actually planned some things, and it's her and our local Concord Brewery Epidemic Ales made the official beer, and I map out the run of show, how we're going to do it.
Upbeat music.
Yeah, the whole thing. And I get up on stage, and I'm talking to the crowd, and I've got my back towards sort of one side of the stage, and I turn around, and I think it's just before I introduce the mayor, and last year's mayor, Eddie Bersan, is standing next to me on the stage.
Eddie.
Wanting some mic time.
It's my thing.
All right, and I'm going to be honest.
Awesome.
I'm going to be honest here. I don't think that's cool at all. He had his moment.
Yeah.
And it's Carlin's time to shine. And I'm literally, I think it's like I announce Carlin. She's coming on stage. I'm still sort of talking to fill the space as she's talking. And then, I realize the old guy. And I'm like,
does he know he's not married?
Why
anymore?
Are you here? I don't know. And he just kind of jumps in and is like, you know, I did it. I was able to hammer in that that tap in just two taps last year.
Oh boy.
So the and I'm okay. Overall, I think he's trying to be funny or something.
In his mind.
Something.
But it was uncomfortable for me. And I had to like act not surprised.
This is supposed to happen.
And what was her reaction?
She did the same as me. I think we felt that we had to just kind of play the game. And I didn't get a chance to talk to her afterward. And not that she would admit it anyway, but I was thinking like, this is not appropriate.
It sounds very condescending.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little like mansplaining.
Yes, I was not going to say that. Yeah.
It felt a little bit like, I don't know, I felt like, just get out of the way. This has nothing to do with... Also because it's not like he asked. It's not like
he's just there.
It's not like he wrote me an email and said, hey, could I help with the introduction of Carlin this year? He just did it.
Showed up.
Huh.
Whatever, she could drink him under the table.
Oh, 100%. I just thought it was weird. Anyway,
that's
local
rude to both you and
politics.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you're in the world.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to politics.
The whole event, because it's like a city event, is politics. Like my Springfest, everyone just leaves me alone.
You run it.
Man, at this one, everyone wants a piece of the pie. Like the local friggin' Rotary Club. I don't even know who. Like the Lions, the Rotaries, everybody wants
the Bears.
You know. But the event turned out well. It was a lot of fun. I think we ended up serving something like 7,000 or 8,000 people over 2 days in the park there.
2 days? Wow.
Yeah, it's a Friday night and a Saturday.
That sounds messy.
It's messy. Internally, it's messy. Yeah. But it was a good time, and I'm glad it's over. I feel like I haven't slept in a week. So,
what else is new?
Yeah, how are you not used to Hamey now?
I think I'm just getting older. So,
and now you know that you need three mayoral slots in next year's intro.
Oh, God. You know what? So if next year it's a new mayor, Carlin would be... I guarantee you I don't have to say to Carlin, don't jump up on stage randomly and insert yourself into the mayor's tapping of the keg.
Eddie will still be there. You know, 2 years ago, it only took me two hits.
Okay, but poor Carlin, she couldn't tap the keg. She hit it like 50 times. And finally, I was like, here, I got to help you out here.
Now it's all shooken up.
Yeah.
Foam inside.
Is it like a big Oktoberfest, you know, wooden keg? You get like a...
So last year it was, but Munich? The only only person I know who has that is Gordon Biersch, and he's the one who did the beer last year. Okay. So no, it was a firkin.
Oh,
it was a firkin. So you just tap in the firkin just to make it somewhat official. It had lager in it, you know, so there you go. Had our official Oktoberfest German lager, which was the Schwarzhammer Schwarzbier from Epidemic Ales here in Concord. So anyway, the whole thing pretty much went off without a hitch. A couple people got arrested, apparently.
Oh.
Different crowd than Springfest. You know, it's more of like a let's drink all day crowd.
Was it because they were drunk? Disorderly conduct?
Yeah.
The usual, nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting. Anyway, thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks to all our volunteers. Thanks to Visit Concord for putting that on with us. And thank you to Bevo for all of her hard work through the weekend. She also hasn't slept in a week.
You're welcome.
So, okay.
Let me get
through just a couple of announcements here. Announcements brought to you today by Drake's Brewing Company. Go to drinkdrakes.com. And don't forget, they're having their Hop Chef 2019 this Saturday, the 19th, from 2 to 5 p.m. It's at Drake's dealership. And this is where they challenged 15 local breweries tasked with random ingredient that they had to brew with. I feel like I saw you on this list, Sully.
Yeah, we're there.
21st Amendment had to brew with sweet potatoes and yams.
Yes!
Ooh.
So you know what we made?
What did you make?
What do you think?
Sweet potato yam beer?
KZIPA.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, 15 different breweries. You can go down to Drake's dealership. It's this Saturday, October 19th from 2 to 5 p.m. Go to drinkdrakes.com. You can find out more information there. All right. I don't have a whole lot in the announcements today. You can support us by doing your Amazon shopping. Click on the Amazon link. That's a great way to do it. Check out our other podcasts, Hop and Brew School, Heads and Tails, Dr. Homebrew, Brew Strong. There's all kinds of shows you can listen to. Just search for those in iTunes or your favorite podcast aggregator. Subscribe and join the BN Army. For as little as $2, you can enter the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which is a chance to get $100 to spend at More Beer. And you can learn all about us and other things that we do over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Kim Shimke takes care of all of that stuff and does a job.
Yeah, and she's here, too.
Oh, hi.
I show
hi,
up.
Kim.
Yeah.
I do things. I show up. Bare minimum. That's what I'm good at.
Okay. Do we have a Twitter game today?
Of course we do.
Twitter game is brought to you today by the Sierra Nevada Hop Harvest Festival. Also happening this Saturday, October 19th. The Brewing Network will be there. I will be there. Shimke will be there.
If we make it up.
If the bunker makes it there. Beardy will be there.
I will.
I think Teresa Pasuti will be there.
Nice.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Go to SierraNevada.com. You can learn all about it. It's the Hop Harvest Festival up in Chico, and you can learn all about that there. What's our Twitter game?
The Twitter game is in reference to, I don't know if you know this, Justin, but tonight is the last show I'm going to be a regular here on the session.
I did know that. In fact, as soon as you're done here, we're going to have to do a little something about that.
Oh, okay.
Beardy's leaving.
So the Twitter game is Beardy's finally leaving. What took him so long?
I see. Okay. So that's our Twitter game. Send that in. And yes, Beardy is dead to us after this weekend.
I'm surprised you lasted this long.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
I didn't even know this was going on. What's happening?
How many years have you been on the show as a regular? Do you know? Two?
It's close to seven.
Seven?
Something like that.
Feels like two.
Yeah.
It's by so fast.
Yeah. Six or seven-ish.
Almost half the life of the BN, basically.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you sad at all to not be doing the show anymore?
Yeah. I think so.
That makes sense.
As odd as it is to say.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say that, but yeah.
Have you thought about it much? Is it just now crossing your mind?
I think it'll feel real the next time there is a show, and I'm just like, oh, I don't have to go.
Next Monday. So it'll feel good.
Right. Yeah.
It'll feel real and good.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think these last 2 weeks being off weeks was a little bit of a weird situation where it's like, did I already have the last show and I just totally forgot about it?
Right.
And so I get one last hurrah.
Right.
And then I'll be crying next Monday.
Yeah.
At about 6 p.m.
Feels weird.
Yeah.
Well, I am sad that you won't be on the show anymore. I haven't let it sink in yet. I'll probably cry this weekend when you drive away in your RV.
We'll both be crying.
We'll
be driving in opposite directions.
Yeah, exactly. Can we start ass to ass with our RVs like that?
Yeah.
And just video the whole thing too?
You're right.
We have to touch. We literally have to back RV asses together.
Right. And each be waving out the window at each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have walkie-talkies and we can just talk until we're out of range.
Justin,
the whole
Justin,
plan here, yeah.
No.
Okay,
it's fine.
Yeah, you have phones.
Well, in light of your last show, we do have a couple of things for you. And Dave Marley of Vuvu, you're just going to have to wait, all right? I'm going to call you. Don't worry. We got a whole segment to do with him. But I see that Shimke already gave you a couple gifts for your parting gifts. What did you give, Shimke?
Diabetes, I think.
Cereal.
And let's get those
but
things.
But it's festive.
Yeah. It's festive cereal?
Count Chocula, Booberry. I don't remember the other one.
Is there some inside thing here, like he loves this cereal or
no,
something?
No, I just saw it on sale at Target. That would be fantastic.
Which is a last-minute gift, basically. Yeah. I like it.
I mean, who doesn't love that stuff?
Right. Okay, well,
look at all
you can see it on the camera now. Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Boo Berry.
Let me get a photo.
Wow, this is like I got to get General Mills to sponsor this segment.
Good work.
My blood already feels thicker.
So also, for the remainder of the show, we're all going to wear Beardy beards. which you can see on our YouTube page or our live stream page. If you've never seen what we look like before, tonight's a good night to do it. We're all going to wear these Beardy beards in your honor.
This is going to be tough to drink
in. for the remainder of the show, which is going to possibly sound weird.
We're going to have rashes on our face.
You guys look so much better.
Yeah, these do look. Did you wash these for the? Yeah, I feel like
Sam's back is totally smooth right now.
Yeah,
it's been like a strawberry blonde. It's perfect.
Yeah. It's gonna make the interview sound a little strange. I feel like
I
sound different already.
Just imagine if I shaved, how I'd sound.
God, no wonder. I don't know how you've kept this beard so long, Beardy.
You just
awful.
Gotta make the hole bigger.
Is it?
Annoying.
Is that what you do?
There
you go.
Okay.
Is this what's happening in the rest of the show?
So we've also got you one of every flavor of Four Loko.
Every flavor? How many flavors are there?
Well, every flavor our local store has.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Good thing there's no duct tape.
My favorite.
Otherwise, I'd be worried.
My favorite is black. Four Loko black.
That's it. That's a flavor.
It. Yeah, it's a flavor. Apparently,
it's black mold.
I'm curious about
I don't know if this is going to work for the whole show.
Just sour.
Yeah.
So
this is a great, well thought out idea, Justin. I really like.
Don't you think?
I like the beards and the Four Loko.
Pour it over your cereal.
Yeah.
And the cereal. You guys really know me.
A half-assed idea is very true. It's on brand. Okay. Yeah. Through to the end.
I'm pretty
Kim,
sure.
You actually on look. You look. Pretty good. With the
I think
beard.
It's the color.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
hair color used to be this.
I'm pretty sure that even our guest wore a beard for you today.
What?
So
wow.
One very similar to yours.
It only took 7 years, and now you guys make me feel like I fit in.
Yeah, you finally fit in, and now you're leaving, and you're dead to us. So
okay.
Enjoy your time here tonight, Beardy.
I will.
And we'll party a little this weekend.
Yes.
And then I'll never see you again.
Justin who?
Yeah, exactly. I put the. Can I put
That's
the,
where the mustache goes.
If I put the mustache up on my nose, it's a little easier to talk. It's Bevo's back there trimming hers already.
Oh my god, she is.
Wait, yeah.
It's going up my nose.
Maybe we should get out the Manscaped trimmer.
Right.
And we can trim you a little
bit. Oh my god, did they send you stuff?
Yeah.
They contacted me asking to do something with me, and their incentive to me was sending me product.
Oh yeah, I got a whole box of it.
They know
Which
that you identify as a woman.
For you.
Yeah, yeah.
Manscaped,
but you don't have balls.
Well, look.
Are they, is, are now
I didn't know
it's
what
funny
to make
how different
of that.
Everybody yeah. looks with the same beard on. because Beverly looks like a weird troll.
I'm
Sully,
moving mine
Sully
around.
Just looks 10 years younger.
Yeah, he looks great.
I'm totally taking this with me.
Kim, an obvious, like, I don't know, like a weird animal.
She looks like a teenage Santa Claus, I think. If you put a hat on her,
we need yeah,
her
more
jolly,
her,
jolly
like
eyes.
Her head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my god, I hate this so much.
It's very uncomfortable. I don't know if it's going to make it the whole show.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what is
it, might make it to
in my mouth right now.
Yeah, it might make it to the end of the segment.
Yeah, those mustaches are pretty crazy.
I'm sure whatever country it was made in had really high sanitary standards.
Yeah. Careful, yeah. They're shedding a lot.
There's not asbestos in those beards.
No,
no, no,
sure.
No, no, no.
It's actually real llama hair. it's funny because you can't even see, I don't know how it is on mine, but you don't see Sully's mouth move when he talks. It just looks super.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've been talking the whole show.
That actually could be his beard.
Yeah.
Maybe at the
In
break
a
you
long
guys could,
time ago.
You could take the scissors and cut yourself
we
your own
adjust.
Individual beard.
Oh, like a bonsai tree, but for your face?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Okay, let me get through some feedback real quick, and to do so, if he's still there, I'm going to get Dave Marley of Uvu back on the phone. You'll remember a couple weeks ago on our feedback segment, Dave from Flat Tail Brewing had gotten an angry angry email.
Yes.
From a listener who went to visit him at Flat Tail. Well, he was visiting Corvallis, and he stopped in at the brewery and was angered by the fact that Dave wouldn't come out and say hello to him.
Damn millennial.
Because Dave had, like, the busiest day of his life, and all yeah. he did was come out and, like, clear a beer line and then right. walk right past him. And the guy sent this angry email. In retaliation, this guy's name is Ron, Dave actually got a tattoo of a heart with Ron's name on it on his ass.
Oh, my God.
You'll have to go back to our last show to find out all of that. Well, we've had some feedback as part of that feedback. Dave, are you with us?
Dave.
Uh-oh.
Dave's not here.
I don't hear Dave. Huh? Let me try something. Let me try one thing. No, not that.
Is he getting another tattoo?
He's busy.
Oh, man. I'm not sure this is going to work, Dave. And if not, it's probably my fault, as usual. Oh, God.
Half of these Four Lokos aren't even flavors.
Settings.
What are they? Just...
Well, like Justin said, there's black.
Which is, doesn't
you
know, say what it is.
Can
no,
hear me.
There's frost. And
I
then
just
there's
can't
gold.
Hear you, Dave.
Let me see the black.
I see that I'm sending
Is gold higher
to
alcohol
you.
Content?
Well, it's 14%.
Aren't they all?
Oh, yeah, so it's frost.
It's all coloring.
You should shotgun
yeah,
14%.
One. Do it right now.
Yeah, you should.
So offer time. Let's go.
If Kimmel Four Loko hands me, we'll do a race.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh. Oh. Warren.
I meant both of us. You have Four Loko
oh,
hands, and
God
I have
damn
Four Loko. Just, if you'll set me up, I'm ready to go.
I was going
to
say,
how cold are they?
They're cold. I bought them less than 20 minutes ago.
Well, maybe more.
Yeah, because Justin texted you, Beardy needs a going away present.
I'll have
so you
two
pulled
sips
into
of
the
each.
Gas station.
And I will be drunk.
Number, right?
He didn't text me. I was already here.
Oh.
The ingredients are interesting. Premium malt beverage. There we go.
Now he's not answering. That's what's happening.
Oh, okay. Well.
All right. Well, let's do this. I'll go through it anyway, and we'll see what happens. So first of all, we had some feedback from Ed, who really liked it. He said, Justin, just a quick note of thanks. I haven't homebrewed in a while, so I'd stopped listening to the session as much. I've missed a lot. I'm getting the bug again and listen to the show with the Tap Brewery. That's what show it was on. And this is what I missed. One of the best episodes and showcases what I love about the BN crew. The joking and friendship reminds me of my friends I like to drink and joke with. Excellent show. Thank you. P.S. I heart Ron. The story had me literally laughing out loud in the car from work. So as it turns out, Ron, an avid Brewing Network listener, tuned into the program where we read his feedback.
Oh, boy.
Hair in my mouth. How do you do this, Beardy?
You trim it.
Oh.
Want some scissors?
You can give us a lesson on the break.
It's no wonder Candy hates it.
Are you going to get rid of
it? It's
this?
Your fault. As soon as I leave Sierra Nevada, I've got a razor in the RV.
Go to work.
We just need straws.
Yeah. All right. So Ron writes him.
You have to kind of part it. Sorry. We're obsessing on this thing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to fix that the break or it's not lasting the show. I don't think it's going to last the show.
Okay.
All right. Ron writes in. He says, I will echo your wow, because we all just said wow. And if you, first of all, Dave and I have kind of figured out that Ron's insane, like not just from the angry email.
Oh, just
but
you two have
the nonsensical
out.
Part of this email is not my read. It's me reading it word for word.
Right.
I'll echo your wow. If you, in fact, did what you said, which I find extremely difficult to believe, it is one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. I cannot fathom a person doing that, much less having a significant other who would acquiesce to it. A lot going on here, I just want to say.
Whoa.
Ron's now taking a dig at Dave's wife.
Yeah.
Dick move, Ron. and I will go further to say that, you know, Dave is a unique individual. Dave, at times, makes me look sane.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult thing to do.
And Emma's doing the Lord's work.
I can promise you. He did what he said. That is not a fake tattoo that he ordered off the internet that said Ron. I have a photo of him in the tattoo shop.
Oh, my God.
Bare-assed.
Yeah. Bare-assed. Get it. So, and you know what, Ron? I think he's a bigger man for it. I'm just going to throw that out there, too.
I'll have to check in a few days.
Yeah, but Ron goes on to say, I was extremely surprised when I started listening to the session and realized you were about to discuss me. It was one of those revelations I'm sure many drinkers have experienced. I'm going to say maybe not on this one, Ron. I had not thought of Corvallis or my experience at Flat Tail in the 2+ weeks since. But as soon as Justin started talking about you and a critical email, a light bulb went off, and I thought, yikes, I think I did that. I don't recall writing the email.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
I have a vague memory of it happening, though. To be clear, I do remember going to Flat Tail, but it wasn't my last stop. I did not see your email, which I'm thankful for, if it contains the pic you described. Ron, don't be such a pussy. Look at the pic.
Yeah.
It's funny. Have a sense of humor.
It wasn't his last stop on his motorcycle.
Right, exactly. After a few beers.
Okay. He says, now, I don't know how you picked up all this hate in my drunken rambling. I looked it up. I sent it that night. Seems like anger to me.
What?
So we're making a difference between the anger and the hate. I don't know.
Oh, so he can be angry but not hateful is his distinction there.
He goes on to say, it did irk me that I was blown off because I did call a couple of hours prior to arrival.
Oh, that's enough.
You know, I'll do this to my friends sometimes that it's not cool. I'll be like, Sully, I'm on my way to San Leandro. Are you there? And I'm not mad. He's like, I have sales meetings all day. You know, I'll see you next time. Like, you know, but you don't even know these people.
Oh, right.
Oh, he didn't know him. Okay.
Never met before. He just heard him on the show, thought he'd go to his brewery.
Made a connection.
Yeah.
Had a couple beers in him.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't call Dave. He probably called Flat Tail's general number
and
said, hey, just so you know, I'm coming into town to hang out with Dave.
Yeah. He says, I did call a couple hours prior to arrival. I wouldn't expect a brewer to come out and talk to me. If you or one of your employees would have simply said you weren't available, that would have been the end of it. Which I'm pretty sure is what happened. You asked the bartender if Dave was there, and he said, I'll go let him know, but he's very busy.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's the equivalent. He goes on now. If you rank my overreaction on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 7. But I'd give your overreaction a 28.
Oh.
Out of how many?
I'm not sure why you felt the need to retaliate. Why would you care what someone you don't know and likely will never meet again says about you in a drunken rant? But I think enlisting the BN crew to skewer me on worldwide radio was more than adequate. I think involving my mother and permanently scarring your body is a little extreme. I don't know the mother part. I don't remember the mother part.
Either. Is it just that the tattoo would look like mom?
Oh, but it's like your average mom one?
Yeah.
Got it. I still don't think that involves his mother, but you're probably
that's
right.
That's a stretch.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Maybe that's why he's involving Dave's wife now, too. Anyhow, he goes on to say, because remember he offered, he was going to give Dave a famous football player's jersey.
Yeah. On that trip?
But because he didn't come out and say hi, he in the email, it was like a passive aggressive, like, well, I was going to give you an thing, but I guess not now.
And Sully, to answer your question, no, in fact, not on that trip.
I was going to come back.
But he still says, if you'd like, I'll still send you the Nick Barnett collectible. He's arguably the best football player ever at Oregon State. Perhaps you can auction it off at some event, raise money for one of the charities you have supported on the BN. Cheers from Ron. So Ron admits he's sends a drunken, angry email.
Sure.
Yet takes no responsibility for said drunken, angry email. I can speak for Dave. He got busy. It looks like he was going to be on the phone. In that the tattoo was far less in retaliation, as you're kind of describing it here, and more because Dave's fucking hilarious.
And also insane.
Yes. Now, Ron, if you also listened to the whole segment, you'll know that I'm pretty sure he's going to create a beer in your honor as well.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Ron PA, I believe he was going to do. I'm not sure which style yet, but I think he said something like Ron PA. Yeah.
Should be ESP.
So, and it's not retaliation. It is the beautiful sense of humor that is Dave Marley of Evu.
Yeah.
So, kudos again to Dave, and I don't know what to tell you, Ron.
It's great radio is
Lighten up. I mean, honestly, you
send an email in like that, it's going to be read. It may be read on the air, and you're going to have fun with it.
Exactly. Especially, it was made, I was going to do it already, but it was twice as fun that Dave got a tattoo of your name on his ass. Yeah.
Next level
Maybe
shit.
Maybe now, Ron, you'll learn
he
that words matter.
He is next level crazy. And apparently, the whole time, his wife was like, I don't know, this one, Dave, like, I don't know about, because he's done crazy shit.
Yeah.
And finally, she's just like, you're Dave. Fuck it. Just do what you're going to do.
It's going to be a tattoo or a scar
Emma.
Of some kind.
She's awesome.
We are similar in that regard.
All right. Well, we've gone way over time here. Thank you, Ron, for the amazing radio that you've given us, both in your initial email and your response here. And thank you, Dave, for being Dave. I like you so... I never really liked you, to be fair, but now I kind of like you.
Wow.
Ish.
Those are really sentimental words. You're a fountain of sentiment tonight.
From Yeah. Feedback is brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. You can go to beerlawcenter.com and check out our good friend John Samankiewicz, and he can take care of your trademark like he does mine, or your brewery filings, or anything else you need in the beer world. He's got a great team over there. Go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. All right. We got to get to a break. I need a beer. And we got to trim our
beard.
We got to trim our beards. And get a beer. All sorts of things. My computer is not a happy computer today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I'm getting all sorts of... This is not a good night to do this. I haven't had sleep. I'm going to blow it up by the end.
You seem a little cranky, too.
I'm a little cranky.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask for a tour. Don't worry.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Session.
We'll be right back. tuned into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And as promised, our guest, only our second brewery from Alabama that we've ever had on the show. We are now joined by Red Clay Brewing Company. And we're joined by John Corbin and Kerry McGinnis. And Sully, I'm going to give you one guess of which one of them is Kerry McGinnis.
Red hair guy.
I saw the name out there, and I was like, I'm looking through the window earlier, and I was like, well, I know which one's Kerry McGinnis.
The walking stereotype.
We're probably relatives. You could be relatives. Yeah. It's like as Irish as it gets, right?
Right.
Is that what you are, mostly Irish? I think you told me other things as well.
Yeah. It's
what was your dad's
name? I'm one of the whitest kids in my family.
Your dad's first name?
David.
Oh, well, that's not very.
My great grandfather was a McGinnis.
Seamus.
He married Villarreal, so
got it.
Spanish there too.
Okay. You're probably a fireball when you're all fired up.
That's why. I'm gonna...
You guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's get enough beer.
Sitting out there before the show, I've been drinking a lot of water.
You guys made him keep contained,
right?
Well, what'd you do that for?
It's a self-control thing. I've learned better by now.
All right, well, don't do that too much. Yeah. I'll try to have
we
some
need good radio here.
But now it's drinking time.
So that's, you're listening to Kerry McGinnis. He's one of the co-founders, and also John Corbin is here. John, okay, you got to help me do this. You got to help me pronounce the name of the town in Alabama that you're from.
All right, it's Opelika.
Opelika.
Opelika, yeah. Okay. Everybody wants to say Opelika, Opelika. No, it's Opelika.
It's Opelika. It's just what it is. That's nice and easy.
Super easy.
Okay.
Muskogee name. We actually named one of our beers after Big Swamp is what it translates to.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And it's what? Muskogee? Is that what you said?
Muskogee. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So a lot of the culture around there is Muskogee?
Oh, yeah. A lot of rivers, the Chattahoochee, the Choctaw, the Hatchie. I mean, it's all...
Okay.
It's all native names.
And are you guys born and raised in Alabama?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Born and raised. Sure. Yeah, I was born...
In Opelika?
I was born in Opelika and raised in South Alabama right on the coast. And Kerry was born and raised there.
Okay.
I've lived there my whole life, except for about 8 years, and then I came home.
Okay. What happened there?
Yeah.
Navy and Army.
Okay.
Got it. All right. And then you came
right
back.
How big's the town?
50,000-ish.
Okay.
With Auburn.
Oh, that's big.
That's Auburn, half the state, you can look. I thought it was just the four of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Auburn University? Is that what you're talking about when
yes,
you say Auburn?
Right. We're Twin Cities with Auburn. Like, it's a circle with a line through it.
You've
got Opelika on one side, Auburn on the other.
I see.
Crimson Tide, right?
Yeah. War Eagle.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Go sports.
And then you were on the coast for a bit.
Yeah.
Have you or both of you been to Floribama? The bar.
So after I asked my wife to marry me, that's where Kerry decided to take us, and it was a light.
Wow.
It was a fun little experience for us. Yeah.
Every experience at Floribama has been a unmemorable one, because I don't remember.
Unmemorable.
See, and I've been dying to go since the day I heard of it for this very reason.
Yeah, yeah. Party in the front. Our business the front, party's back.
Right.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay, excellent. So I was mentioning that we've only ever had one other Alabama brewery on, which was back in 2012, and it was Avondale Brewing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the topic at the time was a bill in legislation to pass to legalize homebrewing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a particular senator that was not cool with this. We did a whole show on it. There's sound bites from back then.
It's not healthy.
Something about everything was a house party. And it's not healthy.
He brought up some moonshiners.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, like
they make it in their bathtub.
Was it Joe Hubbard, or Joe Hubbard was the good one going for it? Do you remember?
I remember.
Oh, gosh.
Because I don't want to get it wrong. We had on the show who was for it. We got one of your reps on the show who was like, no, it's fine. And then we had soundbite. The other guy wouldn't come on the show.
Right. Yeah, no, I think he's the one that thought that an island would topple over if you have too many people on it.
Yeah. Flat Earth.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah, right. right? Yeah.
Now, did the legislation pass?
It did.
Yeah. It did.
So once Alabama got wind that Mississippi was about to legalize it, they said, oh, we got to pass it quick. Like, they speed-tracked it.
Yeah. Oh, so you guys, it's like a competition thing?
I don't know. Maybe for them. Like, for me, I don't care. But once they heard we were going to be the last,
I see.
They put it on the fast track.
Okay. They're like, Alabama cannot be last.
I do have to say, Alabama just said it right, because when they decided to look into the laws and everything, they wasn't just like, you know, how can we stay behind the times? It was more like, you know, let's look at some of the more key states that have put in some good legislation. So they looked in like North Carolina, Colorado, California, some other states, and it's like, you know, this is what we need. This needs to be our benchmark. You know, let's look at some of these states that have actually succeeded at this and make it into something like worth doing. And so, I was living in Georgia when we first started off, and you know, a lot of our homebrewing was done in Georgia because at that point it was legal for us to do it.
It was legal,
but for us to start a brewery at that point, oddly enough, Alabama was actually the better state to do it because, I mean, as most brewers know, when you first start off, your tap room's going to be a huge portion of your sales.
Sure.
And so for us, we were like, you know, when it came to choosing between Georgia and Alabama, Georgia had limited hours, limited tasting opportunities, you know, things like that. Alabama was pretty much, as long as you didn't serve after 2 or before 12 on Sunday, you're good to go.
I mean, okay.
So it's as much beer as you want. Yeah, on premise. So yeah.
Is it still before 12 on Sunday? Is that law, that blue law, still there?
In certain cities, yeah. But yeah, there's certain areas in the state that's changing it up. So they're calling a brunch bill or whatever. But
yeah, I think it's the
brunch bill. Come on, that's some bullshit right there. Why not just call it what it is?
Yeah,
it's
right?
The church bill.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the state said it's up to the cities now.
Yeah, pretty much statewide is pretty good, but the cities are making the regulation.
Okay. So, you know, all states are kind of weird like that. That some of them are, like you're mentioning, the alcohol laws were more progressive than in Georgia, yet they just had this old law on the books about homebrewing. So, in other words, I'm sort of just pointing out that it's not just Alabama. Even some states that have super lenient professional liquor laws have random-ass laws.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can only buy it in state stores, or you have a cap on alcohol.
I think Georgia had that for a while.
We noticed since we've started looking at distributing at this state or possibly this state, like every state has their own set of laws.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know of any that aren't a little bit weird.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And most of them are, they've just been on the books for forever and never got addressed.
That's the way it was. Until it gets addressed, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to have that opportunity to change it. So.
And so were you saying, too, that in Georgia at the time, if you had opened a brewery there, your tap room hours would have been limited? You wouldn't have been able to sell a bunch of product.
Distribution-wise, if you look between Alabama and Georgia, you look at some of the breweries in Georgia, like a huge portion of their sales is all distribution. So if you look at them, like packages huge, things like that. Alabama, your tap room is king there. And so like you're looking at a lot more people doing more draft sales and things like that just because
we're not heavily relying
upon package.
That just says to me that the distributors had a strong lobby in the state of Georgia
and didn't
have a stranglehold necessarily in Alabama.
Well, no, they do, absolutely.
Distribution-wise, but tap room-wise, we're gold.
Hmm. When we started in Georgia, they were selling tours that would come with drink tickets. They couldn't sell an open pint like we could.
Okay.
When we opened.
Interesting.
And you can sell growlers to go?
We can sell growlers.
Yeah. And that actually, after our first year of being open, they opened that up. We were definitely heavily trying to make sure that got pushed through. Yeah,
and that brings up another weird thing. We're about to start canning in our facility. Our cans up to now have been partnered with another brewery, and since it's not made on site, I can't sell my cans in the tap room until we can them ourselves.
Yeah. Interesting.
Everything we sell in the tap room, we can sell package to go, we can sell 6-packs, whatever, if it's done there 100%.
Okay.
So our current cans,
but do you brew it at your facility, but you can it somewhere else?
It's contracted.
When we first started off, we just got one of
canning line from Twin Monkeys, and it'll be set up. We're actually waiting on our labels to be approved, then we order our cans. So we're 1 to 2 months from actually canning on our own.
Got it. Okay. So you put in a big canning line, or
was the smallest one on the market?
Fairly small, But our facility is not massive. I mean, we've got 6,000 total square feet, but we got about 3,000 dedicated towards brewing and you know, sort of holding that stuff. So, you know, we're tight on space, but we found a company that has a really cool canning line where we can pump out a decent amount of beer and supply the market that we're looking for right now.
Okay.
Obviously, eventually we'll grow, but, you know, Right now, this is perfect for us.
Do you know that Sully started canning on a hand, on a forehead hand?
Oh, trust me, I believe it.
Hand filler?
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Man.
That's right, too. That's even more ridiculous than it.
Yeah, it was like milking a cow. It worked. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know. So for us, you know, I mean, we've seen a lot, you know, like you guys and everything, you know, as we're trying to start our business up, seeing how, you know, looking back at where y'all started off and where you're at now, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I feel like we're worlds ahead of it when it comes to, you know, being able to have access to some of this stuff that, sure. that wasn't available.
Information back, you know. Technology.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so it's really cool to see and know that we're okay. We may have a small Canon line, but, you know, it's decades ahead of what you know, people you had to go
100%,
through.
When we started, they didn't make these small Canon lines.
Yeah.
They only had the huge ones like you see the Crown and all that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now it's caught up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how long have you guys been open?
We'll be 5 years in April.
Okay.
April 1st is when we pretty much coin our stuff.
Full-time job for both of y'all now, or you had to keep the job?
Yeah, we do this, and we've got a catering company that we do. They're both ours, and it's full-time for us.
Were you a catering company before the brewery, or that just
came about with it?
Came
along after.
Yeah, it came along after.
What was your previous life?
Chef, and then... spent about 9 years in hotels and then decided to work for myself. And I was like, what did I enjoy the most? And he and I homebrewing together for years had a lot to do with it. I was like, if I'm going to work for myself, I'm going to do what I love. So it was the beer was where I wanted to be. So,
okay.
You know, to sort of help, you know, subsidize some of the income was take some of my background with culinary and start a small catering company, you know, locally to help sort of keep us on the same path that we want to keep on going.
Got it. And you, Carrie?
So I was when we started the brewery, I was a student at Auburn. Before that, I was in Houston and then Army and Navy back before that.
Okay.
So most of my life was a mechanic, technician, industrial maintenance.
I see.
Then I went to Auburn.
So you can build that goddamn brewery.
I did.
Yeah. What kind of brew house? Yeah. Did you buy a brew house? Or?
No. We have a 600-gallon dairy tank mash tun.
Okay.
The big drawback there is to empty it out, you're jumping in and shoveling.
Shoveling over the top.
Over the ledge.
Got it.
Our brew kettle was a mixing tank, so my friend's dad worked for a company that... their standard operating procedure was if it gets damaged, they don't repair it. They just replace it.
Yeah.
So someone ran a forklift into this mixing tank, and he got it real cheap.
It was just the leg that was messed up.
Yeah, we had a place down the street, weld the leg back together, put some ferrules on there for big electric burners, and we have a 40-kilowatt electric brew kettle.
Wow. We put that together.
If it wasn't for the Brewing Network, we may never have thought about
it. Yeah, it was funny.
Did you listen to that show?
Yeah, with the guys
from McLeod.
Yeah.
And then we went and visited
him. Oh, nice.
After the show, we called him up, and we're like, hey, what would it take for us to come out? You know, we're already heading out there in a couple months because we're going out for a wedding. And he said, yeah, just come on out. Let's take a look at it. And we did. And basically it was like, you know, his ideal version of what he wished he had when he first started off, and that's what we sort of created. We asked, you know, what did you love about it, what did you hate about it, and what would you change? And so that's what we did.
Why was electric your ideal system here?
Have you been in the South?
Our electricity,
fun to clean.
Where we live.
Yeah.
Where we live, electricity is a lot cheaper than gas.
I see. Okay.
And we'd also have to deal with the heat. So,
yeah.
So that you have to deal with.
Our brewing area is not air-conditioned.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I don't think I would walk around in an air-conditioned suit in Alabama.
Right. It could be 95 degrees, 100% humidity before we turn anything on.
Okay, right. Fuck that.
Yeah, right. Get more humid, though, right?
Yeah, the humidity's crazy over there.
McLeod walked us through a lot of stuff, and we learned a lot, and I designed mine. Everything he said was a con for him. I designed it to work, to get rid of those.
To fix that. Wow. That's super cool. Okay.
Yeah, when you have those elements in there, you know, you're getting basically 100% of that energy going into the liquid instead of going out and making more heat. I mean, even with that, I mean, you can come into our brewery, like, before we... You know, when we first started, it was just like a metal roof, and then we eventually put on, you know, the insulation and all that stuff. But before we had that, you can literally see a cloud on our roof raining down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Actually raining.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you saved a bunch of money, too, doing it this way, a lot of money.
Yeah. I think our dairy tank, the guy said, if you can come get it, it's yours. And we went up and got it out of a barn. My wife's from Michigan. We went up there just to visit her family and picked it up on our way back. So we pulled it back on a U-Haul.
At the risk of sounding like I'm stereotyping y'all, this is exactly what I expect to hear.
Hey, yeah.
A guy to just go, if you can come pick it up, it's yours. Like, well, I don't know why, but it just seems like a nice place with nice people, and they're like, it's in my yard, man. Just come get it.
So I drove my lifted pickup truck to go get the thing.
The weird part is, we're the exception.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the breweries down there, they've got really nice equipment that was pre-made and brought in, and we pieced ours together with just what we could
I put love together.
That.
Yeah.
But it's worked, and I think we do a really good job with what we have.
Yeah.
And where we needed to spend the money, we did. I mean, we've got these really nice, you know, unitanks where, you know, you can do the full fermentation, bright it, do everything in one tank. We don't have to worry about transfers or anything like that.
Air conditioner in the tap room.
Okay,
Air conditioner in the tap room.
Take care of the cold side of the beer,
exactly.
Obviously.
So, where we needed to spend the money, we did. Where we felt like, you know, we could sort of jimmy-rig the whole thing together, we did that, too.
Well, and in all the brewery interviews that we've done, like the hot side, you know, all of the technology and spending that money is, it almost sounds more like for convenience than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you now have, you saved a bunch of money, but you now have a very manual system.
Not only that, it, like, one of my big worries is, would people look at my equipment and take us seriously?
Oh, I see.
Nope. But,
oh, you know what? Fuck that, though.
Yeah. So we started with Latina tanks. We've expanded to these unitanks.
Yeah. Okay.
That was another input of revenue or capital to expand and grow.
But, you know, it's the beer that counts. And I'll give you an example. Like, the Brewing Network started in a shitty neighborhood, in a weird house full of roommates, in a garage with my broken motorcycle parked on the side. So guests, I'm inviting guests that are like pretty respected in the brewing industry, and they're like, you know, knocking on my front door after they walk around my motorcycle, right? Yeah. And they would look at me weird, too, and I'd be like, yeah, just hang out for a few minutes. It's in the garage.
Pet the dog.
Right.
But within being on the show for 15 or 20 minutes, everybody had a great time, and they knew that I took the show seriously, at least as serious as you can, a beer show. And so, in other words, so maybe that initial reaction would be something like, okay, I wonder what this beer is going to be like. But really all that matters is the beer.
I had one guy who's built breweries in Germany. Like, that was his company's job. Breweries, distilleries. He built Jameson's new brewery. His company did that.
Oh, nice.
And he tried he looked at our system and he kind of laughed a little bit, but then he tried our Kolsch and he just couldn't believe it was made on that equipment.
Okay, yeah.
But like you said, we spend the money where we needed to control our fermentation temps, things like that.
Sure. So. There's a brewery in Vancouver, I wish I could remember the name of it. It's been there for years. And it's known as, the place is a piece of shit. You're like walking into somebody's garage, just like I'm explaining, and the equipment's gross. Like, it's shit. You walk in and you're like, I don't really know what to do here. Beer is fantastic. Took care of it. It looked awful. He didn't go that route, like clean brewery means clean beer. He just had he had clean fermentation tanks. It's all right.
Expensive equipment, but clean. Like, I drive a hard ship on that. We stay clean. My guys keep that brewery clean.
All right.
One, we can't afford to lose batches. We're too small.
Right.
And, you know, one microbe can mess you up.
Yeah.
What size of batches are you guys fermenting now?
Fermenting's 15. Our brew house is 7.
Okay.
We started out with 7-barrel fermenters.
Okay. Nice. How many of those do you have?
The 7s or the 15s?
Yes. How many fermenters do you have?
It was 6 on both.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah. Yeah, we can, especially with the unitanks, we're able to really pump out a lot more beer than we were with the 7 barrels. And it's not so much as the size; it's the fact that you have that bottleneck at your bright tanks. And so, you know, we had you know the 6
Latina tanks.
Yeah, Latina tanks, which were sort of open top. You know, I mean, we can seal them up and all that stuff. But that was a nightmare. But we had 2 bright tanks that we had to transfer it to, and so if you had more than one beer that was ready to go, then, or more than 2, then you were sort of, you know, stuck trying to baby that beer,
waiting on the bright tanks.
Now
it's just like we got 6 full 15 barrel tanks, you know, that we can do whatever with, you know.
We do everything in one tank.
Have you done this with your climate out there? Are you going to start embracing this Kvike-East bullshit that everyone's doing now?
Whoa.
So our brewer, Craig, he just discovered that yeast that can ferment at like 110 degrees.
Yeah.
It can.
But he's a brewing science guy. He just graduated from Auburn's brewing science.
Okay.
And our assistant brewer, Patrick is a previous graduate of Auburn's Brewing Sciences. He came to us as an intern. But he was in school when he learned about this yeast, and he was all excited about it, and I just kind of shook my head. Now, I may taste the beer and think different, but right now, you know, I'm still skeptical.
Well, I'm making fun of it, but I've had beers on both ends of that spectrum, really good ones, and like, okay, that was 110 degrees. So I've had both. Mm-hmm. Just curious, though, you know, throw out all that glycol and throw some Kvike yeast in, right?
Well, so, in a hot environment. I've totally leaned into it. I'm like,
have you tried? Are you doing it yet?
Remember when Levi was on the show from Long Beach? So I actually became good friends with him, went down there, got a tour, met his wife.
He's great.
And we've locked in on this stuff.
Okay.
So, we haven't done anything really with it yet because we had some bad luck with it at first.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't want to brew with that because for all the reasons that you're talking about. But I'm excited about trying, see where it's going
to
go.
You're going to have to bring some in.
Yeah. It might be interesting for us to try one because we still have those, you know, those seven barrel Tina tanks.
Oh, there you go.
We have like zero temperature control on those. Right. And so it might be something to, you know, if we have a little extra.
When we first started, we had a room, a temperature controlled room that the Latina tanks were in.
Okay. Yeah.
But now I can control within 1 degree on these new tanks.
And nice.
This is a whole different world.
So you could have gotten that room to like 30 or 40, but the beer was still 70.
Well, we kept the room about 55 to try to keep the fermenting temp where we wanted it.
At 65 or something.
And after that, it'd go to bright. But one of the biggest problems with those is the foam over.
Oh, right.
If we're doing, you know, a Hefeweizen, it's fine. When we did our 8.5% Imperial IPA.
Or that wonderful sweet potato brown that we did. That always did it.
Yeah, there'd be at least a barrel on the floor when we came in the next morning.
Wow, yeah, that's a mess.
It's a nightmare.
Okay.
Do you celebrate your quirkiness of the hot side? It sounds like, I mean, from a marketing perspective, I would think like you just have so much fun with that. Like, you know, it's like lean into the weirdness.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely own it. You know, we never claim to be pinkies up or anything like that.
So. Yeah. Just own that you built it. Like, I built it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the blood, sweat, and tears.
We cut the concrete.
Yeah.
We cut the concrete. We did everything. So, my background in industrial maintenance, I can do plumbing. I can do conduit, all that.
Okay.
But the city wouldn't let me. But we did. We cut the concrete. The plumbers did their thing.
Yeah.
We re-poured the concrete ourselves and then rough-framed the walls. Plumbers, electrician did their thing again. Then we closed up the walls. Plumbers, electricians finished off, and then we built the bar with wood from a mill that's been torn down, old
nice
textile mill.
Yeah,
we built the tables. I wasn't about to build 100 chairs.
Some things you gotta just outsource, man.
Our bar and our tables and everything's built out like this 100-plus-year-old pine that's
cool.
Yeah, you just can't even find anymore. So, but you know, they were tearing down a mill, and we were like, let's go salvage as much as we can, and throw some.
And there's been some good connection with that. I've had older people come in and say, you know, my mom worked at this Pepperell Mills for, 40 years. And when they closed down, all she got was a watch. You know, there's there's been some good connections there, but
that's great.
I think overall it's a good one.
See us California pussies, I just bought that shit out there. All of that stuff is also made from like reclaimed wood, but we paid some company to do it. I don't know where the hell it came from. And it cost me an arm and a leg.
So the company we got ours from were things he was going to throw away, but this stuff comes from like the companies tearing these places down or selling it. So
okay, nice. Well, that's cool. All right, well, we got three beers in front of me that I want to get to. What do you guys want to start with?
Probably the Hefe.
The Hef? All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. This should be the clear one, right?
Well, it's
clearish.
Clearer than it should be, but
let's check, because I know we had another. We got a hazy like IPA in here too, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So we try to do mostly traditional beers. We I don't want to do, you know, a hopped up Hefe or whatever. I want this to taste as close to a Hefe from Belgium or Germany as I can.
Yeah. I think you've done that.
Yeah.
Yeast driven,
unfiltered, but sitting in the walk-in for a while, it will clear up.
Okay. Yeah.
So the one thing we do with all of our beers is from the water to the yeast, everything's sort of unique. So we don't have like a house yeast we use, and we also don't have on the water side. We don't actually have. We have good water. We have okay water in Opelika, but it's extremely inconsistent. It pulls from two different reservoirs. So we can't just say, okay, we're going to put these minerals in there, you know, and be okay with it. And so we do both carbon filtration and reverse osmosis to just sort of get it down to about as even of a playing field as we can. And we're like, okay, well, since we've already got this done, you know, so why don't we just look at the waterworks, you know, sites and
water,
you know, water profiles and you know where these beers are traditionally brewed,
right?
And so that is our water profile.
We so look build it up. It that
yeah
way.
Yeah. And so we have a Kolsch, for example, that we looked at the water work site and from Cologne, Germany, and that's the water we basically recreated to do that, and along with the yeast that we have. And right. So from water to yeast, everything's sort of unique to each beer that we have. Right.
That's important, especially when you're trying, if you want them to be to style, right. The water is like number one, right?
And this is, what's the name? Weyermann, so German malting house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weyermann Pilsner, Weyermann wheat, malted wheat.
Excellent.
Yeah, we have got a
Belgian hefty yeast and then the Belgian water profile.
It's got a good balance between the banana and the clove.
Yeah, we've got a lot of
neither one of them is spiking over the other one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we've got a pretty big industrial area where we're at. Pretty much all the Kias and Hyundais from around the country come from there. And we also have a pretty big German population from some of the other industry that's there. And like his father was actually my father-in-law works for one of them and. They're bringing like 200 Germans at a time, and they all come over to the brewery. And when they drink some of our beers, they're like, "Yeah, this reminds me of home." Or, "Hey, this is a little bit better than home."
Oh, that's awesome!
it's an awesome compliment for us because you know that's something we work for. You know, it's not we're not looking for just a really good hefty or you know really good culture. Whatever, we're looking for something that is approved by their homeland.
You get that authenticity, and it could be better, you know, because you've done it better, but craft beer should be fresher and nicer.
Exactly.
So if you've nailed the style, it's also then just better because it's fresh. It didn't,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, right.
It was hard to get good examples of Hefes because by the time they make it across the ocean, they're not the same.
Yeah. So we just did our Oktoberfest here in the park, and I try to make it as authentic as I can, but on the beer side, actually, I didn't, in the sense that I do require all the beers to be lagers, and I try most of those to be a German style of lager, but they're all craft.
Okay.
So I don't import any, like all the other Oktoberfests around are like put on the Weinstephaner, put on the Polaner, but I don't want that, I don't want it imported, right. I don't want it to have been shipped over. I just, it's like the one place I deviate.
The freshest Oktoberfest around.
Yeah, right. I also think because of it, I have more lagers on tap than almost any festival in the state when I do it. But anyhow, it's just back to like, I like it because it's fresh, and if there's a bunch of local breweries around here making lagers, I'd rather do that than order and import,
yeah, it's fun.
You know, admit it, just a little more fun.
You should call up Guinness and set a record.
Right?
True. Most lagers at a fest in the U.S.
I don't know that it's more than any other fest. I've heard of another big lager fest, but you know what? Pretty damn close. I think I had 25 different lagers.
Certainly
for a festival in craft beer, it's pretty rare to have 25 lagers on, you know?
Totally.
And I've been a lager fan since craft beer started. Of course, it started with the darkers, IPAs, things like that. But I went to Siebel for some of the classes were online. But I had a week where I had to actually go up to Chicago. And I went to Metropolitan, and they are a lager house. And I fell in love with lagers there.
Yeah.
Even the craft side.
And yeah, we're getting more of them in craft anyway, right. So it makes my job easier out there. But yeah. And of course, we had customers coming up like every 20 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Which one's your IPA? No IPAs.
What's your juiciest lager?
Yeah,
which
big tag.
And now I could give them a hazy, though. They're like, which one's hazy?
Yeah.
Number 7's the Hef. Here you go.
Well, you know, it's funny. So for us, you know, IPAs have always, you know, they've been king for a while. And well, our very first year of being open, we didn't even have an IPA on tap.
Mm.
And we were like, we didn't want to get lost in the mix.
Ballsy.
You know? Yeah.
Did you eventually?
We got one. And you'll try.
But our accountant made us. Yeah.
But
we didn't make it.
The funny thing with that is, you know, when we did that, it made our Hefe. We were the only craft brewery in the Southeast at that point that had a Hefeweizen on tap. And so it took us from being sort of hidden amongst all these other IPAs to being a brewery that actually is known for their Hefeweizen.
Sure, that's cool.
It's become our flagship. And, of course, we would love something more
that's
glamorous.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I'm still happy.
I guess it's not the most glamorous. But fuck that. It'll come back around. And then one day people will be like, oh, my God, have you ever tried a Hef? They're so good. It's this new beer style.
Yeah, it's so great.
I just discovered it. Oh, my God.
That's a really nice one. It's very light. And like I said, the yeast character is subdued enough for me. I'm just not a big Hef fan, and usually because they're either over clovey or over bubble gum or over.
And we didn't want that. We were trying to keep it as sort of toned back as possible.
Yeah, it's got a nice tartness to it, nice sweetness.
Yeah, I think if
you ferment low, like a lower temp.
Well, for me, if it doesn't have banana, it's not a Heffy.
It's got banana for sure.
It's not over the top.
We didn't want to be over the top because our first one we made. That did get a little warm, and you got into the bubblegum area.
Mm-hmm.
But we've toned it down since then, and we do try to find a balance because this is a beer a lot of craft, non-craft people can sit around and drink.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, one of the craft gateways.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's something we've noticed. It's easy drinking. And
so what are we talking, like 65, 66 degrees fermentation?
Fermentation for this, I think, is around... We started around 65, and we bump it up to about 67.
Okay. And whose yeast are you using in it?
White Labs.
So that's the Weinstephaner strain, I think.
Maybe.
There's one other Belgian Heffy. Then it's not Weinstephaner, yeah. Good on you for using White Labs. Look at you.
We love White Labs.
You must have been listening.
They do listen to this show.
When we were homebrewing, we dreamed of going around the world and collecting all these different yeasts from around the world.
Turns out Chris already did it.
Yeah, he already did it.
Right. That's why you paid for it.
Yeah. He stole your fun.
Then we found out they've already done that.
That's funny. You're like, shit. Well, I guess we'll open a brewery.
Yeah.
We'll still travel around the world anyway.
Yeah.
Just to drink the beer.
All right.
At least travel to California.
Yeah.
There you go.
The year before we opened, we did something we'd like to coin our Alco tourism year.
Oh, yeah.
We visited about every brewery we could possibly think of in the U.S.
And, nice.
His dad went out to Germany around the same time, so he visited a bunch of breweries then. And,
okay,
yeah,
wow.
So we try to collect as much data as we could and samples as we could. And
that's
it was fun.
That's a fun business write-off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Right.
Alco tourism.
I've never done that before.
Yeah. Right. Eco-tourism was becoming popular, so I thought, well, we're Alco tourists.
I love this. I'm going to start a new business right now. Take that from you. All right, I think we got a Scotch Ale in our glass.
Do
you want to try that?
It's a McKenzie Scotch Ale. So a lot of our beers we sort of name after something regionally or locally that we do. And McKenzie was the artist that did the murals on our state capitol.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so
okay.
He's a Scottish immigrant that did it. So.
And this
so
is a Scotch Ale. 10%.
It's a 10% Scotch Ale.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like it.
Whoa, yeah.
It doesn't. I haven't tasted it yet, but I would think that it would smell hot, but it doesn't.
No. Super. It hides the 10% really well.
Tastes like it's like 5.8.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, right?
That'll mess you up.
That's really nice.
And
that's really
good.
And
that is the Edinburgh Ale yeast from Y Lab.
I like that yeast. I brewed with it once, actually, believe it or not.
Whoa!
Yeah.
The one time.
I did it one time. I think it was just for a brown ale I was doing. And
okay.
I loved it. But I did it because some other crap brewers had come in and said, oh, yeah, I used this. Yeah. I liked their, whether it was their brown ale or something, and I just really liked what it does. So I haven't heard it in years, though. I feel like that's not like everybody's favorite yeast.
Like I said, we try to stay traditional, and one of those things is we use English ale yeast for our English brown. Mm-hmm. We use the Cologne Kolsch yeast for our Kolsch, and so on and so forth.
How the hell does that taste like 5%?
So it finishes.
I promise the alcohol's there.
It finishes around 10. So okay. That little bit of sweetness, I think, helps cover up the alcohol.
Got it.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little like toffee sweetness, which I really like, caramel. Mm-hmm.
But the high alcohol keeps that 10-10 from not tasting too sweet.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just like the perfect balance of residual sugar and alcohol.
Well, thank you. Thank
Bevo just jumped back to get some.
Right, yeah.
Like,
hold on.
Have I heard enough? Yeah. I have to drink
She's
this.
Like, did you say 10%? I'll be right
it tastes
there.
Tastes good. I'll be right there.
Yeah. So Maris Otter Bay.
Is this the beer you serve on college night at the in the tap room when the university's there?
So I've been
there?
Very surprised with craft lately for us, at least in our tap room, we've seen it take a lighter trend instead of everybody walking in looking for your darkest beer.
Yeah.
But it's still one of our main beers. We do have some people that walk in, and instead of looking at the beer, they go down
ABV.
The ABV.
Yeah. You know, we rarely hear that anymore. I heard it at my festival this weekend. People, you know, we had so many on, some people just come up, just give me your strongest beer.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, oh, I've 1997 called. I remember. Yeah.
You don't know which family member they're with. They might need it.
Yeah, right. That's right. Good point. Yeah. I shouldn't judge.
A little close to Thanksgiving, that starts to kick in.
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, can I order a keg of this from you boys for Thanksgiving? Go on. You were telling us more about the beer.
Oh, Mare Sauter base malts. The peated malt is from a Scottish malting house. I can't remember which one, but we are order most of our malts through BSG, and they have a very wide selection.
You know,
yeah, it does have
Scottish
a little,
peated malt.
Slight smoky.
You're a sneaky fucker, Kerry.
Way in the background, though.
Good work, Kerry.
You are so sneaky because I have not had a beer on this show without bitching about the peat malt because I hate it. And my first sip, I was like, "Oh, there's a little smoky something in there," but it went. It then went away. So I was like, "Ah, right. you're.
I'm gonna
not,
be okay. I'm
it's
gonna
not
be okay."
Smoke malt. Well, I just thought I was like, "I'm not gonna talk about it because I don't think there's smoke malt in this beer." It went away to like nicer. Yeah.
Right. I learned at our first batch how potent a smoke malt can be.
Yeah, right.
It does not take much.
And peat's the worst one.
Ooh, it is.
You just carry the bag by the mash tun, and that's enough.
Right. Yeah.
So you're saying it's the brand that's, or is you put in half a percent or something?
Yeah, it's a very small amount.
Okay, like a handful?
I don't know if the brand matters, but we do stick with the Scottish malts, English malts for this beer.
Okay.
It's just enough.
You got one by me. I like
very
it.
Very hard
it's
water
just enough
profile.
To add complexity. Like, I didn't pick it out as specifically smoke. Like, to me, it was just like, oh, there's a really interesting kind of roasted malt character to this thing.
Yeah.
But once you say peat smoke, it's like, okay, yeah, I can
Our
totally
first
see
batch
that.
Was 10%. And
10% peat?
Yeah, that was gross.
Gross.
Luckily, it was
who
a
drank
single
that?
Barrel. That was a 30-gallon batch.
Okay.
Oh, we drank it. But,
No, I instantly picked up the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
But it turned into what you described. I was like, no, I must be mistaken. That's just a nice, roasty, caramelly like, it just it moved really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Nicely done.
Well, thank you. It's taken a while to get this one down, and Craig's done a good job of that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's a good beer. All right, well, you're 2 for 2 so far.
Well,
now all European style.
Now we get into Beardy's favorite
style. This is one of those beers.
Oh, Kolsch. Great.
Right.
So we were talking before about the high temp yeast, and, you know, I've never tried it, so it may actually, I might come around to it once I try it.
Mm-hmm.
I was the same way with Hazy's.
Okay.
When they first came out, I was like, no way, but now I love them.
You do?
Yeah.
Not just yours. You love other. Now you like the style.
I'm trying others now.
Yeah.
But once we brewed this, and this was actually a long story. Jeremy from River Beach came to me after the tornadoes, and it come to find out he's the head brewer at Reaver Beach.
Okay.
And
that's in
Virginia
Alabama.
Beach.
Yeah, it's in Virginia Beach. Yeah.
Okay.
But he's an Opelika native. He's from Opelika.
Okay.
So after the tornado, he came to me, and he wanted to do something, a beer to benefit the tornado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this was what we came up with.
Okay. Excellent. Well, tell us. It's great. Tell us about the beer. It looks awful, but it's just because it's hazy. You know what I mean?
I was the same way. I never was big on haze. I was like, it's just like,
it's just the. But it, by me saying that, it means it looks like it's supposed to look. It's the epitome of what a hazy beer should look like.
I always thought it was like a lazy brewer.
Yeah, right.
I thought he just didn't finish his beer.
I thought they'd come and go fly by night.
And here I'm gonna stick up for this. Isn't even sticking up for JP. For me, there's a little bit of an explanation of why I still have the knee-jerk reaction when I see a hazy beer that it's not going to be a good beer. Like, I have to catch myself. And the reason is there really was a time when if you got hazy beer like that, you were like, you're a home brewer.
Yeah.
And it was usually bad home brewers.
Exactly.
Guys who couldn't wait long enough to lager it. Yep. Guys, you know, it just was. Like more than half of my career has been that.
Yeah.
And so now I have to train my brain to go, just because it looks like that doesn't mean it's bad beer anymore.
Right.
So that's why I say that. Like, I always look at it and I go, well, it looks awful, but it smells and tastes great.
I can tell you, too, we don't own a filter at our brewery.
And, well, the scotch is clear. Yeah. Right. See, that's what I mean. And if I would go to a microbrewery, a craft brewery, and order a pale ale or something like that, and it was cloudy, I'd be like, ah, shit, here we go. haven't gotten past their homebrew days.
Well, we definitely have an oversized chiller, and we can cold crash these things pretty hard.
Okay. Well, anyhow, now it's allowed to look like this. I get it. Tell us about the beer.
Jeremy came to us. We worked together with Craig to come up with a recipe. He came down and brewed it with Craig.
Craig's our head brewer. So.
Okay.
We've done one beer before, or one hazy. I think Craig did a milkshake IPA before this, but small little one-off. what we call brewer's batches or pilot systems.
Okay.
But this one turned out to a beer I can't get enough of when I'm in the tap room.
It's a nice beer. Low alcohol on this one?
Close to 6.
Okay. So. That's a little higher than I thought, even. Right. But yeah. And what hops?
Galaxy.
Just? It's not a single hop haze. Come on, get out of here, Carrie.
That's why it smells so good.
I would actually have to check the log, but I think
that'd be rad.
22 pounds dry hop in a 15-barrel batch.
Of you think just one
that
hop?
Just Galaxy. On yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
Wow.
And when he gave me the recipe, I looked up the cost of those hops, you know, spot market.
Why'd you do that?
I told Jeremy we can't do this, and he's like, "Oh no, I'm bringing those with me."
Yeah.
So he gave these hops for this beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and $1 from every pint of this in our tap room goes to the tornado victims.
Wow. Yeah. All right, that's really nice. Okay, so you just did one big batch of it, and for the benefit.
And the idea behind it. So we were about 6 months after the tornado happened when we could actually brew this beer because you've got the test batches. You've got the labeling approvals. You've got all the stuff you have to do for a beer. And we realized we need to have a beer, just a recipe in our file drawer, ready to go anytime anything happens.
That's a good call.
So from now on, wildfires in Georgia, hurricane hits the coast, we will always have this beer.
Yeah, I heard you guys were going to get hit with the hurricane this time around.
While you're here.
Sorry. Oh. That was a few months ago now, but anyway, never mind.
Okay, we'll have this ready to go anytime something in our area happens. Anything from Virginia, even wildfires out here, we can brew this beer and donate the money.
Wow, that's nice.
And we won't have to wait 6 months to actually do it.
Sure. That's smart. I don't know that any brewers ever really thought of that because we're just like, oh, we better do something now. It's reactionary, yeah. You know.
Yep. I'll think ahead.
Or maybe that's just a sign that you guys are in such a disaster-ridden area that you're like, shit, we better have something on fire.
Tornadoes. We
disaster beer's ready to go.
So we're lucky. There's 49 other states.
Yeah, right.
So we're lucky. I mean, we don't get hit hard with a lot where we're at, but we're in like a little valley right down from sort of over a hump from the Chattahoochee. But Georgia, a couple years ago, did get hit hard with some wildfires. North Alabama got hit hard.
Okay.
Tuscaloosa has been hit with tornadoes. It was a big outpouring from Auburn, even though they are rivals sports-wise.
I see.
But there's a big outpouring from Auburn to help with that.
Wow. No, that's really nice. I saw in my notes that you guys like to do a lot of the charity beers and raise money.
We work with so this is sort of our latest one. We also work. We do a lot of stuff with like 1% for the Planet. In any business, you know, you get sort of bombarded when you first start up with like all these people who want money from you. You know, all these different charities.
I would like a cake for my kids' party.
Exactly. So we after that first year, we sort of took the time and we're like, okay, what is it that we're passionate about? What is it that makes more sense for us to actually donate to?
And so narrow it down.
Yeah. So for us, it was water. I mean, and if you think about it, obviously, water, beer, you know, it's...
I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, exactly.
Life, how do you for example. Water?
Exactly. And so we worked with 1% for the Planet to sort of help sort of give us that direction into what, you know, who we need to work with and all. And so our first big charitable beer that we did was our 53 Kolsch. It's 53 miles of coastline. We do stuff with Alabama Coastal Foundation. And so we had just had this big oyster fest. We had about 300 people come out to that, and a huge portion of the proceeds go to help their oyster like redevelopment program that they have.
Yeah.
And then obviously we have this one right here, and then we are actually introducing a new collaboration with the Alabama River Alliance, and that's going to be another beer that we're going to have with them. We'll help be introducing that with our fall bash, and so a portion of the proceeds of that will go towards their program, which will be, and the beer's going to be, we'll call it River Defender. It's going to be really
that's cool. Great.
Yeah. And our overall charity that we picked, just to, that we that way we could have a reason to tell everybody, no, this is where we decided to put all.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Was 1% for the Planet.
Okay.
So 1%,
and that's the one about water.
Well, 1% for the Planet, so it's for like an overall environmental organization. They help. They're sort of an intermediary that helps bring people like us, businesses, together with the organizations that need the funding.
I see.
And so what we've done is when they come to us, and so like when we talk to the Alabama Coastal Foundation, we wanted to do this partnership, and sort of the caveat to make that happen was, you know, we were like, okay, we need to introduce you to this group called 1% for the Planet.
Hmm.
And so a lot of the Alabama organizations that are now members of that group have been sort of introduced through us, and so that's
nice.
That's how we do it. And so
love this.
We're basically committing 1% of all of our sales to this type of charity.
Okay,
so,
right. Which allows it to go in different places,
it
but
does.
It's through
yeah.
this type.
Right.
Yeah,
their philosophy is if every company on earth donated just 1% of their sales, the environment could be taken care of.
Done. Right. Wow.
And it's not a lot. You know, when you think about it, you know, it doesn't matter how small or how large you are. 1% could be, you know, $500 for the year, but can also be, you know, $2 million for the year.
Yeah.
On what size company.
Why did you look at me when you said
yeah.
million?
Yeah.
You know, $2 million.
He's not going to look at me. I can tell you what 1% of the Brewing Network is right now. $1 going to
So there you go. You met your quota.
See? I'm saving the world now.
Wow. Right. There you go.
Love this.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to get us to a break. Your beer is fantastic. I'm loving your philosophy so far. Let's take a quick break. Bev will get some more beer in our glass. And when we come back, more from Red Clay Brewing Company. Hang in there.
Hi, this is Tyler from Libertine Brewing Company in the Central Coast of California. You're listening to Brewing Network, The Session.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
But that's what's good about it, is that it sucks, right?
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thanks to our good friend Brad Smith over at Beersmith, the Beersmith Brewing Software. Go to beersmith.com right now. Get your free 21-day trial. It works on Mac and, I don't know, are there like
21
everything? Works on everything.
All there right. are other computers?
Yeah.
Huh.
Works on Mac and the other one. anyway, go to beersmith.com. Get your free trial. It's amazing. You'll love it. You can use it as a pro. You can use it as a home brewer. It does more. I guarantee you. That it does more than you need it to do, like by a lot. Go check it out, beersmith.com. All right, we're still hanging out with Red Clay Brewing Company out of Opelika, Alabama. Place it sounds like I want to visit.
It's a cool place.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like a nice place.
It's an awesome town. We, we're right in an old historic cotton district, like where basically the warehouses that we're in is where they stored a lot of the cotton before it got transported out throughout the country.
Okay.
Right on the railroad tracks.
A lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history.
Town.
It's really, really cool spot, yeah.
Is it mountainous or is it like bayou?
It's hilly.
Hilly.
It's hilly.
Yeah, it's the sort of foothills, I guess you can say, of the Appalachians, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's hilly, but it's a cool spot, yeah. I mean,
is it an outdoorsy like population? Like,
absolutely. One of the things I love about living there is I can be in Atlanta in an hour and a half. I can be in Birmingham in an hour and a half.
Okay.
Down on the coast in 3 hours, in the mountains in 3 hours, but
that's
great. I can drive 10 minutes in any direction and be in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We have a huge biking community.
I like that, too.
Yeah, we have a huge like mountain biking community there.
Hiking.
Sounds like I can a place I can go and be left alone.
Exactly.
Right. I'm hearing you're not doing any biking, that's for sure.
Right. I'm hearing Hop Grenade?
Hop Grenade?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Open another one.
Why ruin a good place? It sounds like a place I would enjoy.
Yeah. Opportunity.
Yeah.
We actually have two breweries now. We just had one open up behind us, so... Opelika itself has two
really?
Breweries.
Yep.
Are you guys collaborative, or it's like they're right behind us?
We're looking forward to it. Eric over there is awesome. I love the guy.
They're a brand new brewery. There's a distillery right next door to us, and we've done some collaborations with them. We've done some aging of our beers in some of their barrels, and then they'll do turn around after that and do what's called a beer back. So they'll take the barrels after we've done stuff with them and then do another whiskey with them.
Nice.
So
does
really
the TTB
cool.
know about the distillery that's out behind the brewery?
Absolutely.
yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
Officer Warren.
Yeah, right.
We're not the same company. A lot of people think we are, but it's just a beautiful coincidence that we have everyone next door.
With the other brewery, I'm going to see if anyone could ever answer this question for me, honestly. All right. I get it. Everyone's happy. The more, the merrier.
But.
Fine.
Yeah.
And I believe, and I'm actually not saying that's bullshit. But there's a little part of you that just hopes the beer is just not quite as good as yours, right? Like, it could be just below.
You know, I don't know.
So I'm from Opelika.
Okay.
The one thing I don't want Opelika known for is bad beer. whether it's ours or theirs.
I'm not saying bad. So your beer, let me rephrase the question.
I'm hoping.
So I've had your beer.
I'm going to say
your beer is stellar to me so far.
Well, thank you.
Don't you want the other brewery to be just a hair less than stellar?
Good, no, but not.
Just a hair.
I want to see Opelika blow up.
Oh, he's lying.
Not everyone has their ego, Justin.
He's not going to answer that.
Well, you're not getting the honest answer tonight.
No, it is. I want to see Opelika blow up. I want
to
see
1,000
people there every night. Yeah. Not 200, not, you know, a group of people going around. I want to see downtown packed every night.
Sure.
And now we've got several bars that have opened up, more restaurants. And when I left after high school, went off to boot camp, like, downtown's not a place you went.
I see.
You get shot there if you wanted to.
Okay, wow.
Back in the day.
Wow.
Right?
It's changed.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's nice to see it coming back, and I'm even more happy to be playing a part in that, doing the best we can.
Yeah. So, and I can, I like that about my Concord here. I'm not from here, but I've been here for a long time, and this downtown wasn't always that great. And even when we opened here, there were vacancies all on the square right here, this great downtown square, and now they're all full up. And so I get that.
Beautiful,
I understand that sentiment. Now I'm done with you, though.
out of the truth.
John, just a hair less quality than yours?
You know, for me...
These guys are politicians.
They're listening.
For me, I believe in a rising tide raises all ships.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, and to be fully honest with you, I mean, it's really cool because, you know, for the longest, we've been the only brewery there. And you know, we had the distillery, but, you know, between the two of us, we were really the only attraction that was in the area.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, I think we've sort of spearheaded a lot of the growth that's in Opelika. And now that we've got more breweries that are opening up there, we've got a coffee roastery that just opened up just down the, like, couple doors down from us. We've got a cool speakeasy that opened up, and so it's becoming that little spot that, you know, that everybody's going to. And I have noticed, like, if you look at our numbers, I mean, our sales have gone up since we've
Excel,
had all this.
Excel, we may not have that thing, no matter what
Excel,
I feel.
Yeah.
We may not have this massive, like, influx of people around 8 o'clock, you know, come into our brewery like we used to, but the second we open the doors, we're full, and we stay full all the way until we close at 2 a.m.
Okay, so, wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
It's gone from rush to just a steady flow, and our overall revenue has increased.
Yeah. You stay open until 2 a.m.? I feel like that's really rare for a brewery.
Welcome to Alabama.
It is, actually.
Do you guys have food?
I went to Florida.
We have food.
Michigan.
We
I've traveled breweries in Michigan. Why do breweries not stay open past 10?
Because nothing good happens after midnight.
Right.
What it is. Yeah. So we're allowed to stay open until 2 here also. And when we first opened, I said, you know, I left it up to my team, man, but I said to my GM, I said, look, you know, I'm from around here. I kind of don't like that next door's closed at 10. The only place else to go is the dive bar, which I like also. But I was like, you know, why don't we try 1 o'clock? And he's like, all right, Justin, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna tell you that nothing good happens after midnight. And second, I'm going to let you do this for 1 month.
There you go.
You'll see.
And it's a shit show. Nothing good happens after midnight. And part of it is that, like, by then, and maybe we stayed up until 2, whatever it was. By then, you know, the last hour, everyone's nursing their beer anyway. Mm-hmm. So sales go way down. And and incidents go way up, is what we were finding. That you know, drunks that you have to cut off, just more for my staff to deal with.
Right.
So from a headache perspective, we settled on, you know, most weeknights. It's 11 p.m. and we'll do midnight on weekends. You know,
yeah.
We're midnight during the week too on Friday and Saturday.
But 2 a.m. on the weekends.
In
I like
5 years
it. For you.
Yeah,
I like
it
for
works
you.
Out for us.
In 5 years,
had any
we haven't
issues.
Called the cops.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never called the cops.
I'll probably have to call the cops tonight.
Probably doesn't care.
Okay. Well, I'm going to answer my own question. I'm going to agree with you guys that, you know, when I opened, so
right
I opened here.
Yeah.
This is the right answer.
Yeah.
I'll give you the right answer. I opened here right next to a brew pub. I share a wall. This wall, this studio wall, on the other side of it is EJ Fair Brewing Company.
Specifically their bathrooms.
And, specifically.
Oddly enough, I actually remember that conversation y'all had years ago.
Oh, God, yeah. The bathrooms. I don't hear them anymore. Beardy just fucking reminded me. he's. I went and asked him first. I'd known him for years since the Brewing Network had been around. So I said, "Hey, man, you know, I got offered the building right next to you, and I think it'll elevate downtown." And him and I agreed. We thought, you know, the more the merrier. So I agree with that sentiment, and I think it's true. I think a downtown area, I think any area can do better. The more the merrier. But if another bar opens, I will support them. We went to the grand opening of another craft beer bar down the road. They used us as inspiration too. They're very kind. Yeah. All of that's fine and good. If another bar opens that's better than mine, I'm fucking pissed. I gotta make some changes. I gotta be the best bar in town.
Actually, and you gotta be. And if everybody sort of had that same sentiment, I mean, it's gonna be an awesome area.
You're right. That it keeps going. Right? Sure. Yeah.
When we arrived yesterday to drop off the beer, I was just super impressed that this isn't like a Copper Palace.
Yeah.
Like you've been around forever, super popular, and your tap room's a lot like ours. It's really nice.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. There's a lot of things I'm proud of, but I want my staff to be better. I want the beer to be better. Mm-hmm. I want all that. But I'm agreeing with everything you guys are saying. I'm going to next level.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying I still wish that everyone around me is just a little less.
There's a thing about a friendly competition.
I pray about it. I have a little fucking juju.
There is a thing about friendly competition. So we try to.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do a communal survey?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I went to Auburn for engineering, and I don't make our business decisions based on how I feel or what I want.
Okay. Well, I should try that.
Excel does that.
I see. So. I'm going to try that one day. Sully, my shrink hasn't gotten to me that far yet. Where I can
keep the one that quit or the one that you still have?
Both. Yeah, all of them. I need a shrink that goes, just look at Excel spreadsheets about your whole life,
Justin.
You'll figure this out, man.
The thing I love about Excel, it's a yes or no. There's no muddy water. There's no, well, what about this? It's
you're right.
Green
data,
or red.
Data-driven. You're absolutely
you can tell
right.
He's an engineer in the group.
Yeah, absolutely.
One.
Yeah, meanwhile, John over here, he's like, I kind of feel it
I'm
out.
More gray.
I'm more gray here. My background's in culinary arts and all that stuff. And on the business side of it, I'm like, just show me the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, if the bottom line looks good, I'm happy. You know, when it comes to the creativity side, you know, that's where I can shine and come up with some really cool stuff. But
I'm the same.
You know, the fun thing is like when we first started off, it was, you know, when he and I were collaborating on some cool beers, you know, for our first few beers that we started off with was, you know, I would take that sort of experience that I had as in the culinary world and try to apply that. You know, I wasn't just looking at numbers. I wasn't just looking at what this SRM or what this IBU or whatever that is. I was looking at flavor profiles.
Right.
And then that's where we would start the process. And then he'd take it and he'd break it down to like numbers, like hard numbers. This is what it's going to end up being.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we're going to expand it out. And
it's
so,
a great partnership.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's all about Excel spreadsheets. Yeah. Just show me the bottom line.
And I'm the same with my partners. They take care of all that. And I'm just like, just give me the big picture.
Exactly.
Because if it takes more than 35 seconds, I'm bored to death.
Exactly.
Just give me that big picture. Okay, I understand. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Are we the best beer in are we the best bar in Congress?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Meeting over.
That's, good.
We're
done.
Good. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's drink.
Yeah.
Staff,
here's your
mustard. Go back into your studio and do your little thing.
Pretty much. Give me the
I'm
one
fine.
Sheet.
Yeah,
and
right.
by one sheet, I mean a 3x5 card. If it doesn't fit on the.
This is what I need to know.
Yeah.
Your hands aren't that small.
It'll be
right.
You're right. Yeah. Well done, Sully. Okay. I have two beers in front of me that look identical, so someone's going to have to help me which one we're trying first.
The copper
one's a beer, one's a cider.
You'll definitely be able to tell by the smell.
The copper one here.
Copper.
So then which one are we going to smell
first? The one in your hand
first?
Now is the sour.
The okay. one in your right hand
as
is what we're starting
up.
With.
Yeah. That's our 14.
You're right. That's a different color. That's copper. I'll give you that. Amber, copper.
This was a collaboration.
Yeah, you'll be able to definitely tell the difference between the cider and the ale. So.
This was a collaboration
like
with the
so.
Auburn Brewing Sciences. All the professors came over and we brewed this beer.
Okay.
So it's a sour beer with Merlot grapes and cider apples added to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice.
Yeah, we're actually I may have mentioned this earlier, but we are not only a brewery, but we're also a licensed winery and cidery. So,
all in one building.
All in one building, yeah. And so sort of the story behind that is, like, when we were home brewing, before the whole, you know, cider craze came about, we were making cider. So his wife's got celiac. So she hated the fact that every time we homebrewed, she could not enjoy the beer with
she
us.
She was in the corner.
Yeah, she was in the corner.
Right.
So,
I would
so
hate
okay,
that, too.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna make some cool
well,
stuff.
We had some ciders we bought.
Yeah.
That's sort of participating.
I can tell you that about 900 pounds of apples will fit in a Ram 1500, and wow, that's going to give you about 50 gallons of cider.
Right.
Okay.
And, because we did that plenty of times.
I love this measurement.
Yeah, right, exactly.
This is, I'm with you again on this.
Yeah.
Carrie over here would have a very different equation.
The mistake,
I'm like, does it fit in the fucking truck or not?
Yeah.
The mistake was we bottled it.
Yeah, first round we bottled. We made that mistake. 50 gallons of cider bottle is a lot of bottles.
Entire weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. The floor of his 2-car garage was bottles as far as
exactly
you could see.
Wow.
But we got it done.
And yeah,
I got some bottles laying around still from
yeah
the batch. It's
okay
gotten really good as it's aged.
Oh, that's cool.
And so while, you know, everybody was coming in on this new cider craze, you know, we decided, sort of parallel to us opening our brewery, we decided to go ahead and open a cider at the same time. And so it took us a little bit longer to get our paperwork and all done through the CTB. But when we did it, you know, I mean, we came out on the end and we were able to make ciders. And so you have other breweries that'll sample with ciders around our area. But we've been doing ciders from day one. We keep a constant amount of ciders. We do between 2 to 3 different ciders on tap at any given time.
I feel like you guys really—you didn't just do your research. That's not enough to describe it, right? You guys, I feel like, kind of put your finger on the pulse of what was happening. Even when you described building your brewery, you said you called the McLeod guy to figure out everything he didn't do right so that you could do it right. And I feel like you know maybe listened to interviews, listened to the industry, whatever, and saw that people start as a brewery and then later add a thing,
yeah,
and then later right add a thing.
Yeah.
And you guys kind of, it feels very well thought out, planned out.
Yeah.
That you said, why don't we do all these things now?
Yeah,
I've
exactly
got at least 500 hours in our business plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was in school at the time for engineering, but my father-in-law is an engineer, has been for 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
We estimated what our power bill would be based on the amount of energy you got to put into this, that, and everything throughout a batch.
Sure.
We were about $5 off our first month's
wow
power bill.
That's super.
And we had that figured out. We had that figured out a year ahead of time.
You would drive me insane, Kevin.
There's some great spreadsheets.
He does drive me insane sometimes, but it's okay. You know?
And I would know that in the long run it's good, but I would just half the week I would just be like, Carrie,
yeah,
I get it. Okay,
did you yell at everybody because you were $5 off?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Super mad.
Who left the light on?
Damn it!
$5. You're killing me here, people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, dude.
And
you're like,
$5. It's John back there, like just going. Flipping right on a switch every
yeah
night.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to fuck with him.
But no, I mean, it works. That's one of the things
right
I love about it. It works.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm making fun of you, but it's a great way to do things.
I love being made fun of, actually.
You know, the fun thing about it is, you know, with us being able to do this stuff parallel, yeah, we had our ciders, and we've done some really cool ciders. The one that you have in front of us is Murder Creek is what it's called.
Okay.
There's creek between Montgomery and the coast that has a pretty gruesome history.
Really?
But yeah,
it's called
Murder Creek.
That's why it's called Murder Creek. That particular
it's
creek.
It's not like the Alabama murder plant.
Yeah,
it's not a
so, but it's a cherry cider. You know, we try to do as much local, but we also know that, you know, you're not going to get cherries from Alabama, so we get them from Michigan. And so these are all Michigan cherries.
Nice.
We have our cider apples, and so you do have a really nice cherry cider that you're drinking. And then next to that is our Fortuity.
Was the sour.
Yeah, that's the sour. And we use our Merlot wine, and then we also have our cider apples on that as well. So it sort of enabled us to be able to not only have our beer, but to be able to do some cool blends with our wine and our ciders as well.
Nice.
So.
The sourness is mild. It's on the mild side.
Right.
How old is this sour?
How old?
Yeah. How long ago?
Maybe 45 days.
Okay.
Now
what bugs did you put in it?
A culture for yogurt, actually. So there's a lot of bugs, a lot of different bugs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But the carbonation is a little low. This was growler filled, and I don't know if TSA opened it up or not. But
fuckers,
they sampled it.
I actually don't mind the low carbonation on this.
We try to get. We don't carbonate the crap out of all our beers. You know, our English Brown is low, our Heavy's low, but our Sour and our Saisons, we do try to get up there.
Okay, yeah. It's a nice beer. I'm just saying you went on the subtle side of sour. A super awesome part about that is that it is not high on like the acidic vinegar scale.
Very drinkable.
It's very drinkable.
Yeah,
sours
are still getting big where we're at. You still have some breweries like in more of the Atlanta area that are pushing the sour pretty heavily.
Yeah.
But excuse me, where we're at right now, you know, the sours are still sort of fairly new. And so we're trying to introduce some sours to our clientele that's very approachable, you know. And so you're not going to have sort of the vinegary, you know, funky sours. We're looking more of sort of the tart sours.
Mm-hmm.
And so these right here are extremely approachable for somebody who's never had them before.
It's also not too sweet. So, like, I used to, in the early years of the show, say that trying to cater to the crowd you're talking about who might not be into sours yet,
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, just get, like, the Lindemann's framboise, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like a little tart.
Exactly.
Problem with that, though, is that it's also super sweet. Yeah, and this is sweet. Not that. So this is on the mild tart side, like a Lindemann's would be.
Right. It is.
But not like a sugar bomb.
We're about as dry as we can be and still be barely inside that lambic category.
I got you. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice, easy drinking beer.
How many breweries in Alabama are doing sours? Do you guys know?
I don't know, but there, a good bit of them are. We just didn't want to we didn't want our clientele, like the first sour they ever taste, to be like horse blanket and wet.
Turn them off.
Cheesy, funky.
You gotta ease them in.
Right. Yeah, and you don't see.
I love sours, but some of those I can't do some of them.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of the breweries in Alabama that have like the big souring rooms and everything like you do in some of the, you know, like North Carolina and things like that. So where we're at, you know, it's still sort of toned down, but you know, everybody's still trying their hands at it, and it's more or less, you know, the breweries are ready to do it. It's just getting the clientele.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's probably some Alabama brewers who absolutely love all, even the super sour horse, but they're like, I probably can't sell it.
Our Fortuity sells like crazy in there, and we've opened the world, especially, you know, anytime somebody wants a cider, we're like, why don't you try this one first?
Nice.
You know, and this, so with us having the ability to do the ciders, we've been able to open their world to these sours that they typically wouldn't never drink. But, you know, With the way the state's going, we're trying to just try to keep it as toned down as we can, just to introduce them to it, and then eventually we'll come up with some crazy funky stuff.
Sure,
and
there are some other
good sours in the state, so we're not the only ones putting out sours.
But yours are just a little better than the...
Yeah, a little bit better.
They have to be.
And since we're not naming any breweries out specifically, I love that ours are just a little bit better.
We need to name a beer just a little bit better,
right?
Oh, my God. That's going to be our collaboration beer when you invite me to Alabama.
All right, sounds good.
It's
going
to be called just a little bit better.
A little bit better,
On tap it at... What is it? Flobama.
Flobama.
Just a little bit better.
I haven't even been there yet, and it'd be a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, and Justin, if you shaved a little bit more the top, you'd have that business in the front part of the back going
on.
Right.
First of all, fuck you, John. I have been accused of that before.
You can get away with that.
Shut up, Sully.
I think it would look good on you.
Go full mullet.
Yeah, you might be the one.
Yeah. Bevo's telling me no, I can't.
Hard no.
I'll fly back out here and take a picture with you if you do that.
That's a hard no.
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
Can you grow a little rat tail in the back?
I have had that in my past.
Oh, gosh.
I had a duck tail back in the 80s.
So did I, man.
Duck tail. Wow.
I used to braid that little motherfucker, too. Right. It was ridiculous looking. I think when I finally cut it off, I saved it for years.
Oh.
Yeah. I know.
80s kids.
I had a lot of patches on my jean jacket and my little duck tail.
Oh my god,
gross.
I remember not being able to wait for those parachute pants to make it through the laundry so I could wear them again.
You washed them?
He just stood by the washer without pants on.
Done yet? Mom, I'm not going to school yet.
The
parachute pants are ready.
Exactly. We'll be back next year.
All right, and this cider is also very good. Bright cherry flavor.
Yeah.
Super bright. It's real cherries in there?
Yeah, yes. Real cherries.
Montmorency cherries from Michigan. I'm all about local, but peaches come from Georgia. Cherries come from Michigan.
Understood.
Avocados, California.
Yeah.
You do the best. There's a such thing as the best.
Sure. Yeah, we actually just, with the cider, we just won a state competition with that one. We got gold with that. As well as best overall, state wine competition. So a cherry cider.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's great. It's such a bright fruit flavor.
The complexity of the cherry is crazy. You can totally tell that it's not an extract or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. right. full on yeah. cherry. How much? What's the ratio of cherry to apple that you guys are using?
Well, there's no apple. Oh no, this is a cider.
Some apple too.
Yeah,
I can't tell you that, Warren.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Top secret.
For every 50 gallons of apples, there is 10 gallons of cherries. So about 1 to 5.
Okay.
1 to 6.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
You back sweeten too after?
So what we do is we brew the cider like our normal cider.
Mm-hmm.
Then we put it back in the brew kettle, add the cherries, and pasteurize it.
Oh.
So we leave the sugars from the cherries in there.
Yeah.
Is that so it doesn't go sour eventually? Or?
No, that's so it doesn't get like 4 more points of alcohol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And recarbonate. Keg bombs, too.
Got it. That makes sense.
But we tried this when we added the cherries, and then we let it ferment out and tried it again. We decided to go back and and leave the sweet there. We don't do a lot of sweet. I'm not a sweet fan.
Yeah.
But we've noticed we've got one sweet beer, and now this cherry cider is sweet, and I can't keep it on tap.
Yeah, our regular cider that we do is called Lakeside Hard Cider, and it's a English style cider.
0.999.
Super, yeah, super dry. You know, we figure everybody else got the sweet market when it comes to that. And so we do a really good dry cider that people love. But, you know, when we did the cherries, we wanted to make sure the cherries were very prevalent in it. And in order to do that, we wanted to make sure it was going to have some residual sugars behind.
Well, I wasn't asking about back sweeten because I think it's too sweet, just so you know. I also do not have a sweet tooth. But both of your beers that I would say have a bit of sweetness to them tonight, one beer, one cider, your Scotch Ale and this, are just right on the level for me. It's just, it's fine. It's perfect.
Yeah, appreciate it.
With the Scotch Ale, we learned we needed to leave a little. Cover up the
10%. Yeah.
And we had to work the smokiness out after adding 10%.
Yeah.
Malt.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd hear about it here.
Yeah, right? But this also, I would almost always go for your dry cider. If we'd have to do a side-by-side to figure out if that. But I would have a pint of this for sure.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Yeah. That's great.
Tart, sweet. Has almost like a spice note to it.
It does.
Yeah.
A little mold cider almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cinnamon-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without it being cinnamon-ish.
I could see putting this in a crock pot at Christmas time and being a happy camper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Warm cider.
Well, maybe you can do that when
you
leave.
Why the hell is it in a crock pot?
Yeah, right.
You'll have plenty of time to do that next Monday.
Right? When you're fired.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing else. Fire apples, me. Cherries, and yeast. That's it.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, boys. You guys are awesome. I'm not kicking you out, but I got to take a break.
Sounds good.
When we come back, we got a couple things to wrap up. And I think was there something else to try too, Beav?
We brought a lot of beer, so if y'all want to try more, it's all up to you.
Bring it.
You brought a beer to guard and a fest beer?
Ooh. We did. Yeah.
Now let's have
our, that. Our beer to guard's called the French Tippler.
Okay.
And then...
can you say that again?
I don't know if you're... Are y'all still doing your Adam and Eve stuff?
No, now we switched over to Manscaped.
Oh, okay. So, it goes hand in hand. And then we've got our fest beer, Ray Clay Fest beer. So.
Well, if you guys want to stick around with us to do the last segment with us, we'll have some more beer.
We'd love to.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I want to thank you for being here, coming all the way out from Alabama, sharing that great beer with us. Folks,
and your story.
And your story. You can go to redclaybrewing.com. To learn more about them, and if you're ever in Opelika, Alabama, that's the place to go. They're just a little bit better than all the other breweries out there. That's my statement.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the Crosley sign of approval.
It's a new slogan. You guys can take it if you want.
Right. You don't have to.
Slow down, Warren. We got to negotiate that.
The dodgeball movie.
Yeah.
The dodgeball movie.
Right.
They're like, we're better than you and we know it.
Yes. Don't worry. It'll just be the name of our collaboration beer. You don't have to use it as an official slogan. Hang in there. You're listening to The Session. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Segmented, demented, fermented.
Fermented.
It's The Session.
All right, welcome back to the show, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hey, Beardy.
Yes, Justin.
Have you tried the 21st Amendment's newest release?
Which is that?
Tasty IPA.
I have had that.
You've had it before, right? They did it as a one-off before.
Right.
With a collaboration beer.
It had a great
with
portrait.
With our own Tasty McDole.
Yes.
Tasty came out to Oktoberfest this weekend, by the way. It was really nice
to
see him. Yeah, he came out both days. He popped in for a beer both times. It was really nice.
Did he ask for a hazy IPA?
He did. Yeah, he's like, why isn't Tasty on tap?
Right, exactly.
Well, it's a 6.8% beer, 58 IBUs, with a nice little straw color. Tasty IPA drinks easy, but it's not necessarily easy drinking. The Hop Forward creation, spawned originally by test batches from Tasty. Tasty,
sure.
Like, went through, I think he was test batching Tasty for, like, 2 years, guy, until he nailed it. And then it became, you know, Janet's Brown and Tasty was, like, McDole's, you know, those were his flagships. Okay. I'm going to give you a guess right now.
Oh, boy.
One guess of how many hops do you think are in Tasty IPA? Not how many different varieties?
Different varieties.
Yeah.
There are 3,487
how many
hop pellets.
Yeah.
How many different varieties? I would say 7.
He's counting right now.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, based on your head bobs.
So check it out. Yeah, here's what it features. And more than just like your standard hop pellets, too. Calypso.
Okay.
Simcoe.
Uh-huh.
Azaka.
Yes.
Amarillo.
Okay.
Citra.
Whoa.
Simcoe Lupulin pellets.
Okay, slightly different.
Centennial.
Yes.
Cascade.
Uh-huh.
Equinot.
All right.
Cascade Lupulin powder.
What?
Mosaic.
All right, come on.
And then they repeat Azaka just for fun. So 11 different hop things. Not
wow.
Just hop
things.
Wow.
Super Hop Salad. It was done as a one-time only beer, but now it's become part of the 2NA's main lineup. You can find it right now as the fall seasonal release. It's their fall seasonal release. And, you know, do you remember the original Tasty image had, like, Tasty naked? Like,
oh, yeah.
What's the movie, Sully?
American Beauty.
Goodness.
But, like, instead of rose petals, it was hops.
Yes.
Well, they switched it from Tasty. Tasty's son, by the way, did the original sticker and
oh, really?
And likeness. Yeah, he was the artist that did that.
That must have been a scarring situation for him.
Right. It's now morphed into Benjamin Franklin because the 2NA loves their historical figures. And Ben Franklin and Mike McDole both are Renaissance men in their own right.
Absolutely.
So it's a perfect match. Look for Tasty IPA in 6-packs. 19.2-ounce cans?
Yeah, those big, tall, you know, the stove.
That's the thing? They're 19.2 ounces?
Yeah.
I like the way they say, beer comes in a can now?
What?
I don't understand it. Maybe I've never looked at it. I thought a tall boy was like 16.
There's 16s, there's 19s.
The taller boy.
And there's 22s.
And there's 24s.
And you're doing the, you guys have
don't
the 19s?
No, I just walked in the studio. What were you talking about?
Yeah. Sully, have you had the Tasty IPA?
Are you talking about that right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you hear we did it with Mike McDole? He's a
what?
Brewcaster.
Oh. Guess how many hops are in it?
I think there are probably 11, maybe.
Oh, good guess.
Okay.
When's your next show with us? So I want to get it on tap here. Not, I don't have to wait till then, but I want it on tap while you're here, too.
I will get it right now if you want.
Can you get it on tap right now?
Yeah.
Just have it flown in with your 2NA drones.
Okay.
You guys are going to be the new Amazon. Sully, that's Sully's next.
In the Bay Area, yeah.
Next, well, you won't
service.
Be here for our next show, Sully, because you're dead to me.
Sully.
But the next Beardy.
Yeah.
But the next time we do this live read, it'll be like your 2NA cans, have them delivered to your front porch via drone.
Exactly. 19.2, unusual size.
Yeah.
Drop right in your...
I mean, I have a feeling that Carrie, the engineer, might beat you to that, but we'll see what happens.
I'm just going to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not in Alabama, anyway. We're still a three-tier state there.
So. Got it. You're not a drone-free state.
It'll
You're
have to be my distributor that delivers it by drone.
Y'all can't self-distribute at all?
Nope.
Not at all.
Nowhere.
I like the way Justin drops
not even
into y'all
the street.
Now and then.
Like, I think you noticed that, too.
Yeah, he's like, what are y'all doing down there?
I will say
Alabama.
This. I know you're going to think it's for the show, but I've caught myself doing it a ton lately elsewhere.
Really? Well, you're so gender neutral.
I heard you doing it in Oktoberfest, and I was like, what is wrong with you?
He's so progressive.
You know, I found it to be a really great, like, all-encompassing word.
Convenient.
I don't know why us on the West Coast are so far behind on y'all.
I'm not at all. Just it's interesting that you're bringing it up right now while you have gentlemen from the South.
Yeah.
True. It does Southern sound like I'm catering to the South, does. But I'm not.
I think you're noticing it because we have gentlemen here from the South. He's been doing it for months.
It's been months now, and I don't even know where I picked it up, but I suddenly one day was like, that word is really good. See,
you started doing it during Hop and Brew School podcasts, and I was like, oh, cool, both of you say y'all now.
Attention.
There we go. See?
You're welcome.
It happens occasionally.
I wish it was Yuns.
It's a good Yuns.
Y'all.
Yuns.
He's not from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, let's get a Pittsburgh brewery in here and see what happens.
I am, however.
But see, that's the other thing about y'all is that everybody, wherever you're from, can relate to it. Like, it's not like you guess what that means. Like, Yuns, you go, what the fuck is a Yuns? But if you say y'all, people the world over know what you're talking about.
Even if they notice it, like if you're in a place that sticks out as different, they still get it.
Yeah.
Still know
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, no one ever goes like, what does that mean?
It's not like, what
they
is
just
pop?
Say, why is he using that word?
Yeah,
I get
like
it,
I
but,
did.
You know. Anyway, find Tasty IPA wherever stuff is sold.
Stuff and beer.
Is it hazy?
No, it's not.
How dare you? Why didn't you make it? Not that I want that, but don't you want to sell more Tasty?
Well, maybe we will one
maybe
day.
Next time you'll
maybe that's coming out.
But that wasn't Tasty McDowell's original recipe, so you went. No. You're going with what he did.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Yeah. All right.
It's fine. If you're fine, I'm fine.
Well, we'll have to talk about this later. I don't know about this read.
Oh my God. This happens every time when I have to do it while he's in the room.
Yeah, it's like literally you drop y'all's. I wrote something up for you just to read. I didn't know you were going to slip into the, hey, Warren, what's going on over there?
You know why? Because I read what you sent me, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, what am I reading, a romance novel? It's like the longest thing ever.
It wasn't that long?
It was so long.
It's no longer than the Drake's read.
It was
sometime.
Pretty long.
Does it fit on a 3x5 card?
You could... Yeah.
Well, he paid for no y'alls.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say no y'alls.
I'm going to drop some y'alls in there. Y'all have some hops in here, too?
Right.
Y'all got 11? Is it 11
next
y'alls?
Time we come, I might have a cider with grits in it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that sounds amazing.
Right? Like a cream ale has corn. Grits are just... like the South's oatmeal. Maybe corn. But,
I've had me some good grits.
Now you're just being that guy.
There's no explanation
there
for that
go.
One.
That did not make
any how about them boiled peanuts?
How about that?
I'm gonna plug a place that I have no affiliation with, but it's where I've had the best grits I've ever had. It's actually a place in Denver, but they it's like Creole and just Louisiana food. Yeah. Sassafras beef. You know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. And it's
place is my jam.
It's a breakfast place. Killer Bloody Mary. You can get like a flight of Bloody Marys.
Oh, wow.
And anyway.
I thought we were talking about grits.
I've had bad grits, and I've had good grits. These are the best grits I ever had, and they were really nice there. So probably won't compare to Alabama grits, I'm sure.
Y'all might like them.
It never
will. I don't
will.
Know. Grits are grits to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's schedule that collaboration beer. I got to come try some grits.
Whenever you're ready, buddy. Whenever you're ready.
What do you mean grits are grits? Are you saying to me that there are not like good grits and bad grits? There's just grits?
No, there's like instant and then the like 30-minute grits.
Okay. And those are the two levels.
I'll take it both ways.
I see. Is it a staple of your diet?
Sometimes I get
diet?
In a hurry. Yeah. Especially since my wife's gluten-free. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Which is why I've started seeing it, like, even in Michigan when I'm traveling around. I've seen it pop up more and more
people
places.
Picking up grits.
For the gluten-free.
What the hell are grits, anyway?
So,
ground up
you've
corn,
got oatmeal,
basically.
You've got
corn.
Cream of wheat. Yeah. In Asia, they have rice that's ground up. In Africa, millet. It's just we had a lot of corn in the South.
Right.
And it's just the grain made from ground up corn.
And then you just like put like a giant stick of butter on it, right? Like it's got to have a lot of butter. Yeah.
Butter, salt and pepper.
And salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't mind cheese on mine either.
Yeah, the ones that don't care, it's just grits and water. Yeah. If you really want it, you're going to throw some heavy cream in there. And throw some butter, salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic, some cheese. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be really good.
What else is like a staple Alabama food that I would eat?
Bold peanuts.
Okay.
I wasn't just making that shit up.
What? Peanut?
Boiled peanuts. Did I say boiled peanuts back?
You did. You said bald.
Bald.
And I was like, no,
boiled peanuts. That's Alabama for boiled.
Bald.
Yes. Bald peanuts.
You also have like a white sauce for your wings.
We do.
It's a white barbecue sauce.
Yes. That's the first time I've ever seen it and had it was when I was in Birmingham.
Is it just ranch?
Yeah.
No, it's not ranch. It's a cream. It's sort of like a cream sauce, got a little horseradish, black pepper, garlic in it. It's really good.
Oh, is that on all wings or is
No. Just specific places. Mainly like North Alabama, you'll see a lot of it. Yeah. Okay.
Can I still get ranch? That was really good with my wings.
You can get ranch anywhere in Alabama.
But you got to remember the South was a bit of a melting pot on its own. So we had a lot of French, a lot of Creole, a lot of Cajun. There's some Spanish. Like there's a lot of that mixed into our food, our culture.
Honestly, that's why I'm asking about food. I agree with you. You have more eccentric food.
Well, tell us about the caviar of the South, also known as pimento cheese.
The caviar of the South.
Whoa.
So pimento, for me, pimento cheese is one of those things I hated as a kid.
Okay.
As I grew up, I became like, you know, my parents.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. If you ever get anywhere in the South and you find a burger that's just coated in pimento cheese, give it a shot.
It's mayonnaise, right? It's mayonnaise and cheese
and pimentos. Yeah, a little bit of garlic.
It's so good. Don't make that face.
It's not so good. You lost me at mayonnaise.
Yeah. So when I grew up, you know, the pimento was this little tub of stuff that you get at the local Piggly Wiggly. Yeah, that's a grocery store over there.
It's not a real place. It is. I've always wanted to go to one.
My wife from Michigan said the same thing. Looking at it, I'm just like, there's no way I'm going to eat this stuff.
And as I've gotten older and, you know, some of these restaurants have taken, like, some of these old South staples and, like, tournaments, like, some really good gourmet stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, now you're seeing, like, these massive, like, you know, really good hand-done burgers with you know, smoked bacon on it and this really good pimento. So homemade, house-made pimento cheese.
Wow!
You know, using some local dairies to do the cheese, the cheddar, and all that stuff, and it's really good.
Okay,
yeah. I want that.
You're selling me on it, Bevo.
I'm really hungry.
I got lost at mayonnaise. You got Bevo at mayonnaise.
That's where I signed up. But I know I like pimento cheese.
I think you've had it.
I've had it.
I think I've had the best fried chicken in the world in Alabama at a gas station.
Probably driving from Atlanta to somewhere in Tennessee,
and I just remember like, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah,
so that's one of the things with beer we actually have to work against when it comes to the South. Like, you come out here and you're in Napa Valley, and there's this description with 200 flavors that you're going to pick up from this wine, like hints of this, hints from that. If you say the word coconut in Alabama, they better taste some freaking coconut.
Yeah,
I see.
Every flavor there is big and bold and in your face. There's no hints of anything.
No subtlety at all. I see. Any of these foods that we're talking about, it's going to be direct.
Yeah, it's going to be direct in your face.
Okay.
I was shown that the oysters are a thing, and you guys had like participated in Oyster Fest.
Right.
Sully used to do an oyster stout.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that think the worst thing you can do in the known universe is cook an oyster.
Oh, gross. But
really?
Yeah, that's how you don't get, like, foodborne illness, though.
if it's a fresh oyster, you don't have to worry about it, right?
I gotta take over Warren's position.
Born and raised in Berkeley or some fucking thing. I don't know. That's how you get foodborne illness.
Raw oysters.
The Surgeon General says.
Raw oysters and whiskey.
Where's my hand?
You won't have to worry about getting sick.
Okay, that's a good call. Yeah, Drana, you like whiskey, Shiv. You can get behind that, right?
Yeah.
Drown it in whiskey.
Alcohol kills everything. It's fine.
Yeah.
I just can't do it because of it's just that.
It's like you're slopping down a loogie.
I can't wrap my head around it, man.
I don't like drinking the ocean.
It's good though. I mean, yeah.
Oysters are amazing. What do you get, like Gulf oysters or?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we do an event every year with a restaurant called The Depot, and it's one of those charity events we do for the Coastal Foundation, and it's, you know, we actually get the oysters shipped up typically that morning for the event. We'll have a few hundred of them come in, and actually a few thousand come in for that event, but it's just a really cool event where we have this massive thing of raw oysters, and then they also do a bunch of cooked varieties. So they'll do, like we did an oyster fried rice this last time. We did like oyster pizza.
Oyster Rockefeller pizza.
Wow.
So we do some really cool stuff with them. And Chef Scott
over at the Depot, he does a great job of cooking all these things and the team there to make sure everything's there for 300 people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that there's no foodborne illness.
Correct. Right. And if there is, there's plenty of alcohol.
CDC will know.
Yeah, right.
All right. Which one's the most amazing beer to guard in the world?
This one right here.
The French Tippler.
There we go. The French Tippler over here. You guys tried it yet? Carrie's loving it over there. I just smell. He's like, yeah. Did it travel well? Can
That's
you tell
the wrong
already?
One,
Did
Warren.
It travel okay?
Yeah, it traveled well.
We thought he was drinking a dark one. I was like, yeah, that doesn't look great.
In Beardy's defense, he can't see.
Yeah.
So, I was just trying to help him.
Right. Yeah. Good call. All right, I'm trying. It smells fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. What is a Beardegard? Remind me. It's table beer, right?
Mm-hmm. It's sort of similar to a Saison, but a little more pinky up. Right? Yeah. A little more like the...
A little fancier.
The polenta.
Yeah.
The polenta of grits.
The polenta of Saison. So.
Can you get it at Piggly Wiggly?
Not this one.
No.
Okay, that's a goddamn good Beardegard. That's real good. So yeah, I'm trying to remember. No one ever has this style, right? So I'm just trying
you don't
to remember.
See it a lot.
It's got like just a little bit of candy sugar flavor to it. So you get that little candy sugar sweetness and like a tiny bit of farmhouse to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
I do have to give a shout out here. Our assistant brewer, Patrick, from the name of the beer, the recipe, brewing the beer.
What's the name of the beer?
French Tippler.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Even the poster. This is the first all Patrick beer that we've had.
Okay.
Yeah, well, when we do it, when we get a new assistant or we get a new intern or whatever, one of the cool things that we try to do, especially... With the one of the cool things we try to do with especially like with our interns and all is from the Brewing Science program is look, you get an opportunity, you know, we're not this massive brewery, so you don't have to, you know, we're not spending a ton of money to put out this really, you know, what if beer.
Yeah.
You know, we can come in and you can come in and try out your hand at actually brewing from start to finish a beer. Work on the publicity of it. Work on the marketing side of it. And,
nice.
And come up with some really cool stuff.
I like
and
that.
And so every time we've had a new either assistant brewer or intern come in, we've given them the opportunity to, hey, look, this is yours. Run with it.
Let's little see what incubator.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For good beer. Let
exactly.
Them, let them try. I like that you let them do the marketing, too.
Yeah.
That's smart. Let them. You got to do the whole project is yours.
So the project is theirs.
A lot of pressure.
They file card. Everything with the TTB and everything.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. It's a lot of training. That's great.
Why don't you see this style more often?
I don't know. Like Saisons, I love Saisons, and I don't see them as much as I used to.
Yeah.
When we first opened, a Saison was one of our first four beers that we distributed. I don't know why, but it's like a lot of bad Saisons came out at about the same time, and now people see the word Saison, it's like they move on.
Right. And think about that. Now multiply that by 20 when the description is beer de garde.
Like, yeah, right.
It's just unknown. I think that if it had a cooler name.
So it's unapproachable, you're saying?
Yeah.
What's like ESB? Yeah. So, I think ESBs are incredible.
Yeah, but that's same.
But they're hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so that's
Hook.
What we call it, French Tippler.
That's why they're called Ambers.
Right.
People may not understand beer de garde, but French Tippler is right there. You know?
Yeah.
I used to predict that Helles would be the, and this was years ago, 10 years ago, I was like, watch, you mark my words, Helles is going to be the next, is going to be the next big style. And it, not just because I liked the style, but I was like, the name is cool. It's fucking approachable.
Hell yes,
it's not Beer de Garde, it's just Helles. And I was like, you watch, one day a brewery's going to make a great one. It's never happened.
You just have to keep saying that.
I just, Helles.
And then when it happens, you're like, see?
That could be the collaboration.
They told y'all.
Just came up on the hill.
Bald Helles.
The entire time I was working at Heretic, Jamel would ask me what style of beer I wanted to brew. Dream style.
Yeah.
I was like, Helles.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, cool. I'll ask you again in 2 months when it's not a lager.
Well,
but the whole time it was a lager, and I wanted to call it Helles for Heretics.
Ah, yeah.
And he brewed it about 6 months after I left.
And then what did he call it?
Helles for Heretics. First batch.
Okay.
The first batch. Then it became lager.
Now it's called Heretic Lager.
Yeah.
But it's a Helles. And I'm like, why don't you use the name? It's a Helles is a cool name.
Yeah.
Or not. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks
so. It's like Beer de Garde. What the hell is that?
Right. Yeah.
Helles. I think it's cooler than that. It's got hell in it. I think Americans are dumb. And we're like, oh, hell. Yes.
But they know what lager is better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Our Saison is now just Hay Shed.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And this is now just French Tippler.
You don't put the Beer de Garde in there.
Not on the tap card.
And does it sell well?
In the tap room, it's been moving pretty good.
Yeah, I'd drink this all night. That's good. Mm-hmm.
That's a good beer.
Okay, and the other one I'm going to get through. This is your fest beer. Oktoberfest, yes, so, basically.
Yep. We've done Oktoberfest in the past. But
I like
is,
that you call it a fest beer because that is the specific style in Germany during Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
It's not Märzen, like people think. Mm-hmm. It's fest beer.
Right, and this is one we've done in the past, but Craig took this and he wanted to do something a little different, and he really brought out something really good from this. So this is our brewer, Craig's, I think, our first all Craig beer.
Okay.
And he did add a little chocolate to it, which
separated, that, yeah.
separated it from the pack.
Sure.
There are a lot of
yeah, the Germans might not like them for it, but I do.
I think it
that's nice.
It really rounded out the mouthfeel here.
Mm-hmm. That's a good beer. So I would not drink a liter Stein of this, though.
Can you get an
Oktoberfest?
Unless
you drink a liter Stein of it.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have one here.
Yeah. Can you get an Oktoberfest this dark?
No.
Nowadays? No, not Märzen.
No, and in fact, I'm going to say this is actually closer to a Märzen.
Yeah.
A fest beer, in my experience, is...
They're a little paler, a little blonder.
A little paler, a little... That's all. It's kind of a cross between something like a Helles and a Märzen. You might fall kind of in the middle
there.
There's
that Helles again. Right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I may not do a 1 liter of this, but I'll definitely do like a 2 or 3 liter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a Stiefel?
I mean, I would do 6 pints of it. No, I like
that's
this beer
less than
too.
A liter.
It's the you know what? It's the chocolate sweetness that keeps me to like a smaller amount. That's all. But that's a good beer. They're all good beers. You
good
guys
beer.
Have you've
thank
brought
you.
Us some
you
nice stuff.
You all make
stuff.
Good beer.
Yeah, y'all do.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we all like Stroud.
Yeah, is there an abbreviation for we all? There's no wall.
Wall.
All right. A couple of things left to do. I just wanted to do a real quick beer news story because I thought it was interesting. Mostly because, remember there was a brewery up near Sacramento that did like a Breaking Bad themed can?
Knee Deep, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, it was Knee Deep.
Yeah. Well, Breaking
deep.
Bud.
Breaking Bud. And yeah. They got busted for it.
Yes. They did.
They like got cease and desist for it.
They got the letter.
Because the whole logo on the can was like that. Well, but
there's a lift.
There is now a Breaking Bad-ish beer coming out.
Oh.
And so I was, they didn't get sued, and they just sort of changed the beer. They didn't even change it entirely, the Breaking Bud. So I was like, I wonder if there's some like agreement in the works.
So this is still a
like
deep beer?
Like that they were like, well, we're going to quell it for now.
Sure.
And then I was like, I'm waiting to see if they then come back with like a full-on. Well, there is now a Breaking Bad beer, but it was not done with them. I just saw the headline.
Oh.
I saw the headline, and I was like, oh, okay.
Need
the other expect. Shoe has dropped.
Yeah.
No, but Dean Norris, who was Hank Schrader, in the Breaking Bad.
He was a home brewer.
He was a brewer, yeah.
Exactly.
Trader Brow.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at you, Carrie. You know what's up.
Carrie's cool. I like it.
I love the show, man.
Great show.
It's the beard.
And yes, I remember watching it and going, oh my God, they're like, it wasn't just like a passing homebrew thing. They like showed a bunch of homebrew.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool. I think even he had
it
like...
He was filling bottles.
His bottles exploded.
His bottles exploded. Like,
yeah.
Kind of
like
went
a home
into
brewer.
Homebrewing,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Which I thought was super cool. Well, okay, so the actor's name is Dean Norris, and he is coming out with a beer that is called Schrader Brow. That's how it's being released. It is being brewed in California, but it's not by Knee Deep. It is Figueroa Mountain.
Oh,
Central Coast.
And we've had them on the show.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Really, I like their beer as well.
Yeah.
So they're brewing it. It'll be primarily available in 22-ounce bottles at, apparently you can get it at craftshack.com. I've never heard of that. Or at Costco locations in New Mexico and select retailers in California, I think, too.
Costco.
Yeah. Which is a smart move, by the way, Sully.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like you get into Costco and you're good to go.
Oh, yeah, it's a big sale.
It's a German style Märzen, actually, 6.2% alcohol. I think that's a weird style for them to pick.
Yeah,
when's it being released?
That's a little hot,
and also 6.2. It's kind of strong,
right?
I don't know.
That might be in style guidelines, actually.
I think it's like
pushing the limit,
yeah.
Right?
I do like, it's interesting to me when famous people coordinate on, you know, they do, this has happened before.
Yeah.
I interviewed a baseball player. Yeah, okay, Umbop did
Hansen
right? did it. It was called Hops.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's going to go wild.
Pretty sure that's not on the shelf anymore.
right.
I interviewed a Hall of Fame baseball player, the Big Hurt, at GABF.
I remember that.
Frank Thomas. Great, fun interview. Great guy.
I used to watch him play at Auburn.
Man's a badass. Oh, really?
Him and Bo Jackson.
No shit. And Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson.
God damn.
Yeah. Bo knows.
Great ball player, right? A really great guy, too. Pretty sure that beer lasted on the market for like 6 months. It's I don't know that the whole cash in on the
it's a good play.
On the name works in craft beer.
It would work with like Bud Light.
Yeah.
Yes, go big. Like, why isn't Budweiser picking up on this, not Figueroa Mountain?
Justin, did you see that the Jonas Brothers got their faces on Coors Mountains?
What?
What, seriously?
So they did go Coors?
Yes.
Wow. That's smart.
Unless it was a joke. I saw a picture.
Sounds like a meme to me.
Yeah, it does.
I saw a picture of the Jonas Brothers partnering with Miller Coors and got their faces on those frosty blue mountains.
That's what I'm saying. It seems smarter to do that.
We've noticed craft beer drinkers don't go for that. Like,
that's what I'm
saying.
They're
not going to drink something because Magic Johnson does.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, you make a craft tequila. You know, everyone's like, Michael Jordan's putting out a tequila right now. Sammy fucking Van Hagar.
he's got his rum.
You know, like that crowd, it kind of works.
Right.
I don't know the craft beer drinker.
Craft, yeah.
You got to go macro.
I mean, we'll see. I wish you luck, Figueroa Mountain. I'm not sorry if I'm, you know.
It's probably a one-off. It's just to get the guy's name out there. They have an alignment with it for a little bit.
Can you describe what the label looks like?
Bad fan.
It has, it looks like it has, Dean Norris on the label, like all thumbs up, and it's kind of a traditional Oktoberfest looking logo, Oktoberfest font.
That might be the logo that he had.
That's Schrader Brown.
It looks like the bottle on the show.
He had
a poster.
I can't really see it on my screen, but it's probably that's probably what it is. I just went straight for that.
In the show, he had a poster in his garage of Schrader Brown.
Okay, but with what we're saying, in a Costco, it doesn't feel like a microbrew, so you're probably hitting the right crowd. You're hitting the Bud Light crowd. Someone's going to walk by and go, oh, my God, Schrader Brown.
I mean, how many fans are of that show?
I mean,
like, okay, there's four or five in here. So there's, like, millions.
Absolutely.
So imagine, like, if everybody bought one bottle.
Right.
That's all it takes.
This could go gangbusters. maybe this will be the one.
And maybe it just, it's there, it's like in and out, like
good,
6 months and it's gone.
Right. And if it's good,
if it's good, I might buy it again.
Yeah. And it's a good brewery, so
hopefully
it's good.
Like I'll say right now, outside our brewery, the one I can't find enough of is that Daytime.
Lagunitas Daytime? Is that Lagunitas? Daytime
all
is
day.
Lagunitas. All day is Founders. Daytime is Lagunitas.
Yeah, really?
I like that beer, too.
Yeah,
I don't know
beer.
What the label's all about.
Heineken's
like a
not
weird
doing
nail.
Their job,
so I'm not gimmicky.
Yeah, there's like, a little nail or something. Like,
I'll drink it the first time just to have my Schrader Brow because I'm a fan of the show.
Yeah.
But if it's good, I'll buy it again.
So that's Sully's point, though. If all of us just do the one, even. Yeah. By the way, your Fest beer is better as it goes down. Keeps getting better.
Thank you.
Bring that liter.
Yeah, well done.
Bring that 5 gallon.
Did I say this? I wouldn't drink a liter?
We designed this specifically for drink by the liter.
I think you did.
Like I said, in the South, flavors are big, so we got to go big or go home.
Yeah. No, you did a good job. Don't listen to me. You did a great job. All right. What else do I have to do? Twitter game results. Beer.
There were so many good ones, actually.
Really? What was it
People
again?
People finally brought it.
It had something to do with you, and you're about 5 minutes away from being dead to me.
From being retired.
I can hardly remember what your Twitter game was.
Who are you again?
Yeah.
It was, since I'm leaving, what took me so long?
Okay. How many are you going to tell me?
How many do you want me to tell you?
Like 2.5.
2.5? Okay.
What do you got?
Can I round up to 3 then?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Mike says he actually handed in his resignation 4 years ago, but Justin kept telling him to shut the fuck up.
That's a good point. I like that one. Winner.
Yeah, already. Okay, if I'm only picking 3.
Shut the fuck up, Beardy.
Okay. Here we go. Brian says he didn't want to get put out to beer radio pasture like Doc.
Oh, that stings. That one hurts.
Yeah.
Ouch. It happens to all of us, though.
It does.
You really? You know, let's just take a moment here.
Moment is silent.
I mean, I was put out to pasture, and I was brought back in.
I was going to say, Sully, if you look around the room, because you've been around since the beginning.
I look like I've been around.
You and me.
Hey, settle down. It's not that funny.
You and me have been around the longest.
Yeah.
You are now, right. Other than me, you're the veteran. Even Bevo came in later.
Whoa.
But Daniela's gone. Doc's gone. Tasty's on hiatus.
Jonathan.
Beardy's dead. Yeah. John's gone.
Yep.
Nate.
When it comes to the session, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. It's you and me, buddy.
What about JP?
Ooh.
Hey, where's Zanishev?
Where's he tonight?
Where the fuck is JP?
You're seniority by one show.
Yeah. Was JP?
No, you're
on
right.
The
JP's
beginning?
Here. I believe we're going to have to look back. You might have been on before
I
JP.
Think I was
it's
on
possible.
Before him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because JP didn't come on until John quit because he thought I was too vulgar.
Yeah.
Which is fucking ridiculous. Anyway.
Well played. Yeah. Well, maybe we could talk about
it. I wonder why John's not here.
We can negotiate something then, now that that's the case. It sounds like we have a partnership here. And
that's what we do.
I'm going to demand a little something.
Oh, my God.
You got one of those good voices for radio. Too.
Yeah. Maybe a little longer read next time. Maybe a little bit more into it. Maybe it will be a novel by the end of the show.
Hey, Beardy, have you heard of the Tasty IPA?
It sounds great, Justin. Tell me more.
11 and a half different styles of hops.
What?
All of them go into one beer.
Oh, my God.
It started out in Tasty McDole's garage.
And I can buy it?
You can buy it right now as the latest seasonal from the 21st Amendment.
Let's do it right now.
Let's go.
What size cans?
It's 19.2 ounce cans.
Wow. Remember, you have to get that in there. We talked
about it. It's in the size can that nobody fucking knows anything about.
And that person is Justin Crosby.
19. We found through our focus groups that 19.2 ounces is the perfect volume for most craft consumers.
Actually, that is true. Yeah.
That doesn't even translate to the metric system.
It doesn't matter.
How
this is America, and we don't know math. So, get it today in 19.2 ounce cans.
And?
Select draft accounts. And at the 21st-amendment.com.
What's the address of the pub?
I can't wait.
563 2nd Street, just two blocks from AT&T Park.
Bingo. Except for the AT&T Park thing.
No, three blocks.
Giants Park. Giants.
Oh, shit. Giants.
We'll work on it.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we'll work on it.
The copy's old.
Was that better?
We'll be up till about 1 o'clock in the morning working on your read.
Brewmaster Sean O'Sullivan and partner Nico Hates Justin Frecia started back in... What year?
2000.
Neither of them had ever run a brewery before. One was sort of a lawyer, and the other one lived off his wife.
Hey, Sully. Have blood coming out too?
I wonder why Nico.
You want to talk about that for 5 minutes?
Hey, Sully.
No wonder Nico hates you.
Me, Kim, and Beardy were all in high school still when you started the brewery.
Oh,
I know.
Wow. Yeah, I was going into freshman year.
What year?
I thought you guys weren't born yet.
I just started high school.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
What year?
2000. I was 54 at
that time. I graduated in Actually, I was just heading over from my first deployment.
See?
How old were you when
you guys were in high school? This man was fighting in a war, right?
And you were opening a brewery.
And I was opening a brewery.
Kind of the same thing.
How old were you when you opened your first brewery?
We opened when I was... What was it?
What you are now, minus 18.
Sorry.
34. Yeah.
Wow. You were a little baby.
So
little
do that
entrepreneur
backwards.
Baby.
Yeah, I didn't get into brewing until I was 30. We can talk more about this on the air if you'd like.
These guys, we are on the
y'all
air.
Y'all are interested in this, right?
Yeah.
It's just a little bit better than your story.
just a little bit.
Actually, our story would be so much better if the TSA had just freaking roofied our beer.
True, we'd be having a blast. That might have been what's happening right now.
Give it like another 10 minutes. It's probably going to all be gone right now.
I feel like I was given truth serum.
I think Beardy's beard got longer.
Right. Do you want to touch it? It feels great right now.
We have our own Beardy.
They are listening right now.
All right. What's your third pick from the Twitter game?
All right.
Are we playing that?
We got to finish it. Yeah,
this last one has to get in there. Joshua says, Candy said it's time to leave, so he has to say goodbye.
That's pretty much what happened.
I know. I feel like Joshua has some inside story.
Well, is it funny if it's the truth?
So Beardy's supposed to go to the Great American Beer Festival with me.
Funnier.
And it's all planned out, and it's just me and Beardy. And I get a call like 30 minutes before we're supposed to fly out, and he's like, I can't go to the GABF this year. And I'm like, what do you mean? We have this all planned out. Like, there's nobody else going. I gave Bevo the year off. Well, literally the words were basically, Candy has my balls in a vice, and I'm not allowed to leave. And so,
what did you do wrong? Why?
What happened?
I think because he's moving. It does make sense. I still say fuck you about it, but it does make sense. Yeah. The kid has to like pack the house and leave because he's leaving with us to Sierra Harvest Festival this weekend, and then you're going to continue driving to Washington.
Yes. That's how they say it up there.
I picked that up from Tasty. Okay. Do you guys do that?
That's how you say it in Tennessee, too. Washington.
But not in Alabama?
No, not in Alabama.
You guys say Washington.
We say Washington,
and you wash your clothes.
We wash, not wash.
You don't wash them. No. But in Tennessee, they wash them.
That's Tennessee all. Tennessee and Kentucky,
Do you wash your clothes in the crib,
actually? TV.
So, well, Tasty's from Missouri.
Missouri,
if you will. Thank you. So I don't know if Missourians also do it, because that's where I think he picked it up.
Was it Louisville or Louisville?
Louisville.
So, okay.
Louisville.
I'm from California, so it's Louisville, but I would much rather it be Louisville.
It's Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville.
Or Narlands. Like I would always, yeah.
Do you say it like that, Justin?
Narlands.
Y'all go to Narlands?
I try to. I'm kind of douchey like that, where I do try to pick up other people's dialects.
I do that all the time.
I used to live 2 hours from there. I always call it Nolens.
Although I'm curious, not far from here, you have a Lafayette, or is it Lafitte?
We say Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Yeah, what would it be in the South? In the South, it would be Lafayette,
It could be Lafayette. It could be Lafitte.
We have a Lafitte.
But it's spelled the same?
Spelled exactly the same.
Yeah, where'd the Y go?
10 minutes north of us is a place called Lafitte.
Yeah. It's French.
That's just a Y. You missed a whole syllable.
Lafayette.
Now,
we get tired talking sometimes, so we just sort of like leave stuff out.
It is funny.
Understood.
There is a Lafayette, Louisiana, and there's a Lafitte, Alabama.
Wow.
So we say it both ways.
Okay. How do you say Concord, though? Because my brother and I were actually talking about it.
Concord.
Concord or is it Concord?
It's Concord.
Concord. It's not Concord.
Concord.
It's Concord.
What is Concord?
Concord.
Concord.
Is it oil or oil?
What?
What?
I don't even know what either of those words were.
Yeah. I so wanted to be oil. I feel my dialect is so boring. It's oil.
Oil.
Yeah. You say oil.
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 Well, you have the Gulf, so you're the fucking you're the masters of all. So whatever you say, it is what it is.
It's yours.
Yeah. There you go.
Texans and anybody along the Gulf coast can call it whatever they want.
Yeah, as long as you don't call it Gulf Coast instead of Gulf.
Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Gulf. We're not playing golf. It's the Gulf.
It's the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
The Gulf Coast is Florida. It's like the other side of Florida, where all the retirees are.
Where they golf.
Where they play golf.
But you guys are the Gulf Coast.
Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I think I screwed that up.
I've been saying that wrong.
Yeah. I messed that one up, too. What else is Alabama known for? Now I'm...
It's actually great. I mean, you've got French, Spanish. You've got a lot of everything there.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of the...
You're a little melting
child of whatever all that mixes together.
Because you're in the middle of kind of all
right?
that.
Between
Louisiana, Georgia.
The first Mardi Gras was in Mobile.
Really?
Yeah, everybody thinks it's New Orleans.
It's Mobile.
Wow. Yeah.
That's your problem.
Have you lost that fight, you know, that you get to claim that? Like, New Orleans won it, right?
Oh, no. So,
But if you ever go to Mobile, then you'll be like you'll understand where it really came from.
Well, I'm not being sued by anybody in Alabama, but I am being sued by somebody in New Orleans. So that's, so I like you guys better. Yeah. Not officially yet, but it's probably going to happen.
I have a little issue with that place, too.
The city?
Louisiana?
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know they don't have counties,
about
right?
You have a legal issue?
Yeah.
With the 21st Amendment thing?
I'm trying to figure out if I can talk about this.
I took a picture of what you have a legal issue with, because what's going on here?
I'll say a legal issue. I'll couch it this way. I have a concern with a business down there that is a similar name to our place.
Oh, yeah.
There's a business down there that has a concern with my business name as well.
Is there a craft brewery that hasn't sent out a cease and desist?
Right? Or, good question. Yeah, we probably have, right?
Oh, yeah, we have. Yeah.
But how do you do it? Because what I do is I usually make a phone call. I'm the guy, and I call it the slow hit. So I'll call him up and say, hey, this is Sean, da-da-da-da, walk him through the whole thing and say, and by the way, you know, can you, and then I tell them what I want them to do. Yeah. And then anything goes one of two ways. Well, you know, they usually
Well, ours was basically fairly simple. Ours started off, they actually called us up and asked.
Oh, they asked.
Well, and we said basically no, and they still did anyways, but, you know, then we started, we did the cease and desist.
But I don't have $800,000 just sitting around.
Yeah.
Sully does. Sully has it on him.
Right. In both of his pockets on his sweatshirt.
Yeah, that's why he's buying burritos
under
for
his hoodie.
You know,
I do have it. Never mind.
Are you double hitting the hazy?
I'm having more of your hazy.
Yeah, all right,
because I did. And by the way, I did look through all of them, and I was like, you know what, the hazy sounds nice.
Like I said, man,
you have a collection.
I saw hazies. I was just like, whatever.
Saw the growlers in front of me now.
But after we made one, I've kind of come around a little bit.
Yeah, I think you did a good job.
Especially when you look at that Excel spreadsheet.
Well, I gotta hand out. Yeah. I gotta give that big shout out to Jeremy with Reaver Beach. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Good beer. Yeah, we have.
He came down and him and Craig brewed it together, and it's just been a great beer.
Good beer. I like it.
And we've brought a bunch of growlers today, but we do package, we do cans and all, and we're just in the process of middle of switching from having that contracted out to us actually doing it all in house, and so
good luck with that.
But you got some really good fresh beer today, though, so that's good.
I feel like it was all very good, very fresh. Even if the TSA fucked with it, it still came out good.
What size cans are you using?
If you're gonna fuck with it, make it fun, right?
Not the 19.2.
Okay, good.
We got 26.722.
Were there any of the heat seals still left on the caps when you got them?
No, not that I noticed.
So they did open the ground.
No, we did actually.
Oh, okay.
In the process, we planned to put them on there, but we were like, sort of like, we forgot.
Well, we went Friday night to start filling these, and we started drinking.
Well, it wouldn't have done anything except let us know for sure if the TSA opened them up.
Yeah. I mean, so far, all the ones we've tried, they seem to be fine, yeah.
The bags.
We got love, though, yeah, definitely.
The bags, however, did seem like they were, like, airtight. Like, so if you guys squeezed all the air out, I don't think TSA would have done that again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, they don't repack your shit.
They traveled well. Good job. All right. So, are those our three? Twitter game?
Sure. I could throw in one more if you'd like.
Go ahead. What the fuck?
It's my last Twitter
show.
Game.
Come on.
This last show.
You and also, you'll show. Enjoy the memory that this
Did
evokes.
You even drink the Four Loko that I searched far and wide to buy you to bring to your last show?
They're all gone. I chugged them already.
Beverly and I walked 10 miles uphill
in the snow
to find Four Loko Black, which I thought you would enjoy.
I'm more of a gold guy.
We found that too.
This is your last show?
This is the last show. You guys are on his left. You're commemorating
the end.
Honored. I know. I would be sad, except I don't give a shit.
Right. He did this to himself.
You did this to yourself.
Yeah, I said, this is my last show. Yeah. Right? Candy said you have to say goodbye.
Candy did this to you. You didn't do this to yourself. Yeah.
Good luck in Washington with your shitty distillery and your awful life.
Maybe I'll come back and visit you guys.
I hope that there's another distillery in town that's just a little...
don't you wish that on me.
All right, what's your fourth one?
All right. William says he doesn't want to get into another vehicle for fear of breaking another tooth and losing more beard from when falling out of the vehicle and catching himself with his face.
Oh, when did that happen?
Yeah.
When I was with you coming back to your house.
After Spring Fest.
After Spring Fest.
I completely
That's why I had to fit in the fourth one, because I knew you would love that.
Do y'all know this story? Beardy comes home, really gets out of the Uber, Well, you basically just said it. Falls on his face, chips his tooth, cuts his mouth.
Road rashed his face so much that like part of his mustache was missing.
Yeah.
And I remember now because he was getting out slowly because I saw it happen because I was already on the other side of the car, like walking to my house as he was getting out. And he did one of those like slow. And then you know how your normal sober reaction, your hands sort of automatically go in front of you. It's you don't even think about it; it just happens.
Yeah. It's called a reflex.
he caught himself with his face on the curb of my house.
No, it's better than not catching yourself at all.
Right. Luckily, the show knows a dentist, so literally that night I'm like, Doc. Beardy needs a dentist.
We FaceTimed him.
We FaceTimed him. I was like, take a look at his tooth.
Oh, yeah.
It was a significant chunk of your tooth missing.
The bottom, probably eighth of an inch now, is fake.
Oh, thanks to Doug.
Was that this year? Wow.
No, I think it was a year ago.
Candy didn't make you leave a year ago?
Oh, she was... I think... I'm not sure if... We even told her, but she came and picked me up from your house.
Mom, can you come
that
get
night?
Me?
No, the next morning.
No,
we just kept drinking that night.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what else are you going to do at that point?
It's the damage has been done.
Yeah. You throw
like
a little
Jackass
beer on
episode.
It. Yeah.
And so I don't even think I did. We tell her before she showed up to
this
your house?
This is my legacy. Yes, I think we did.
I don't think it was a surprise.
You're not the only injury. There has been broken ankles.
Didn't you do your tooth in almost the same fashion?
No, I don't think so. Another person.
Wasn't there a Havasu tooth thing?
Yeah, there was that guy. We ended up calling him Jaws because we jagged. we fucked up all his teeth.
It was a mess.
Yeah, Sully, you know why Sully and I get along so well and he's been here so long? We don't hang out that often.
Okay.
And well, the early years,
how
we lit a house
like
on
a bunch
fire.
Of savers.
We've lit houses on fire.
Oh, gosh.
Not ours. The neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And to my credit, the ground didn't take off my mustache. It was the door. I bounced off the door first then hit the ground.
Oh, man. Well, you're welcome.
I can only imagine... that Uber driver and like what he's thinking.
Oh, I think he sped off.
Right.
You don't wait around for that shit. You're
he
like,
just,
nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Nothing good happened.
He accelerated so fast the door closed and so he could just take off without even talking.
Yeah, then almost, he ran over your leg and right. I don't even know it. Yeah.
This is almost identical to like sitting around with my fellow shipmates telling stories.
Right.
Mm. A bunch of sailors.
See.
Yeah.
And now, except you've grown up now and you don't do this.
See, we can't
well.
See
So, are we hanging out tonight, guys?
Sure, yeah. All right.
Going away party. Here we go.
Are you allowed out tonight? Are you allowed to go to Vinny's with me?
I gotta go home.
Bullshit.
I am going home and pack. It's fucking Monday, and you leave on Friday.
Everybody knows Monday party night, right?
I'm putting
what are you
foot
packing
down.
At 9
you canceled
at
GABF on me. Okay. I will tell Candy what's happening.
Okay, you tell her.
She's not going to leave you at this point.
I'm the one leaving her.
I will write an apology letter.
Oh, whoa.
There you go.
To Washington.
No, where are you guys staying? Are you staying in Concord?
Yeah, we're staying in Concord.
Oh, yeah, some clarion. Out.
Here we go.
Some clarion.
I'm Uberable.
Can Doc schedule me for tomorrow morning?
Yeah, you want me to call him now?
Yeah.
All right, I don't know who to pick now, though, because these are all good. So,
are we doing a game?
So we got to finish the Twitter game.
I feel like it's either Shut the Fuck Up or Doc.
Shut the Fuck Up was a really good
like,
these were all good ones.
Or Out to Pasture
Like Doc.
Both of those made me go,
Candy, we're going to take that off the
Josh,
list.
That was too real.
I'm going to get a tattoo in my ass on that one.
Josh, your name's going right on my butt.
All right, read the two top ones again.
They were the Doc one
and Shut the Fuck Up.
Okay. Let's see. So Doc one's right here. He didn't want to get put out to beer radio pasture like Doc.
Okay.
Still hurts.
Then, that's why you quit.
That stinks.
Right. And where the hell did that one go?
Poor Doc.
Oh, there we go. He actually handed in his resignation 4 years ago, but Justin kept telling him to shut the fuck up.
That sounds about like Justin.
That's the fucking
it
winner.
Is.
Yeah. Come on. That's our winner right there. Of course I would never accept your resignation.
Justin, I'd like to talk to you about a thing that I got to go do.
Like, literally, if you weren't moving out of state, I would be like, no, absolutely not. But I have a full-time job. I don't give a shit. But I'm having a child. I could give a fuck. You're not leaving the show.
Right.
But you're moving out of state, so I have no control over it.
Candy said I had to do it.
So I'm that's so sad. That's what it takes.
There's always the law.
I'm so sad.
Good job, Mike.
Just sue him.
There's the... I'm calling John Semankiewicz right now.
You can't leave the state.
Figuring out where my legal standing is.
Tonight you're going to get me arrested, so then I can't leave the state.
Right. I know all of Concord PD. They are bros right now.
Oh.
Yeah, they
I'm
like
sorry,
me.
Candy, for everything.
Yeah. I am that vindictive, my friend.
Mr. Warren, is this your name, Mr. Warren? Yeah. You cannot leave.
Yeah, no, I'd rather you stay here for a job that pays you nothing than go have a successful life as a distiller in Washington.
Get a felony on my record.
I bet they don't even serve grits in Washington. It's a stupid state, and you're going to have a stupid life.
Unless you're gluten-free.
It might be
probably
a
cream of wheat.
But I
take that, Uncle Ben.
To the citizens
cream of white,
Washington.
I think.
What just they meant to say.
But it'll never be above 70, so I'm going to be totally comfortable.
You will like that.
Yeah.
All
that's
right.
Oakland. You could have just moved to Oakland.
Right?
That's I can't afford freezing. Oakland. I'm a brewer.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. I haven't wrapped my head around it.
That's me neither. It's too soon.
But your on-air official goodbye is fuck off, Beardy. And then you and I will have our own official goodbye at the Sierra Harvest Fest this weekend.
Could you give me like one last good shut the fuck up before the end
shut
of the show?
Shut the fuck up, Beardy!
There we go.
It's been a pleasure to have you on the show for the most part.
Thank you so much.
For the most part.
Yeah.
That's always a qualifier.
Right.
I'm sure there was an episode I enjoyed being here for.
There's always a but.
I feel like we have to end the show with our beards
on. We got to put them on.
We got to
end the one last time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of choice.
Yeah. Carrie, can you, can you put your beard on? Or what? Carrie, you know, we are looking for a new bearded host.
Yeah, there's a slot.
I don't know if you saw the ad in the paper, but we're looking for a new
beard. We all fly people in every week from, from
what's
Alabama.
The salary?
We'll put you on the BN jet.
Yeah, right.
Actually, no, you have to drive your motorhome back and forth. I know you have a motorhome.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
I know you're joking, but we'd be all about that. anything to get us away.
That's amazing.
Right.
But it's a great town.
But it's great.
Well, I can't guarantee he'd make it.
Right.
we'd probably make it to, like, Ohio.
Actually, after the show, we're going to be drinking tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to rethink what you just said.
Oh, you bet your ass I am. Right?
I like Sully's take.
I've been rethinking about him for 7 years.
Right. I like Sully's take with the Amish beard that he's got just, going on.
Yes, you must come. I have some furniture I need you to buy.
Bevo's got the same one. Wrong state.
So is that my nose. Sully,
Bevo's from Pennsylvania, so it's fine.
Yeah, these are my people. She's not appropriating.
Did you get one for John, too? Does John,
There's two extras.
I think, Bevo, can you give John a... I'm not ending the show.
I'm looking for him.
No. We got to do a beardy beard. We're going to do the whole thing.
Sully looks amazing.
You look like...
With my hair, too?
Yeah. Oh, no, because you have the cybers. You look like George Washington's, like...
There we go. All right.
Sully looks like anybody from Berkeley right now.
We got, like, Sully Yoder. Here.
All right, there we go. Oh, John, and then our guests from Red Clay are also.
There we go.
Everybody's ending your show. This is all you get, Beardy.
This is all I could have hoped
that
for.
That and the hangover I'm going to give you for tomorrow.
Actually, I grew this years ago just for you.
For tonight?
For tonight.
Thank you.
I like it. All right, now you got to do mustache and all, Beardy. Come on, give it all to me.
Unless you're a Yoder.
Give it all to me.
Give it all to me.
She even
really
trimmed
weird.
Her mustache, yeah. too.
Bevo, you're on the air, by the way.
Sorry.
You got to give it all to me.
I forget. All right. You know, I want to say something sentimental. I don't have it in me, Beardy. I love you very much. You're going to be on the show again.
Yes.
I think that's part of why I'm not too concerned. I know you're going to visit, and you'll be back.
Definitely.
And I love you, and I thank you for your time here. You've done a lot for the show and for our listeners. I think our listeners love you. You ask the right questions. You contribute, and you're fun to make fun of. So,
thank you.
I feel like the show wouldn't be what it is without you. That's about the best I could do. I'm terribly heartbroken that I won't be seeing you every week, every Monday. But thank you for everything.
You're welcome. And thank you for letting me crash your party for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
It's been a blast.
Okay. I'm going to get us out of here with that. Next week on the show, we've got Alvarado Street Brewing Company. I want to thank Red Clay Brewing from Opelika, Alabama. John and Carrie, woo-hoo! Thank you guys for being here and your wonderful beers.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You did a nice job, and your beers are wonderful. I wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't wish you the best of luck, Beardy. I hope that you have to come back to California.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
With your beard between your legs.
I wish you just a little bit less than the best of luck.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week with Alvarado Street Brewing Company. Thanks.
And winning the race, JP does great as his cherry.